The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
It is Wednesday, September 4th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning in the news this morning. Hurricane Dorian continues to lash the east coast of central Florida as a Category 2 storm. At 5 a.m., the U.S. National Hurricane Center reported Dorian is about 95 miles east of Daytona Beach, Florida. Maximum sustained winds are being clocked at 105 miles per hour with gusts up to 125 miles per hour. It's moving to the north-northwest at 8 miles per hour. Dorian's projected path still has it riding up the east coast along Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, and North Carolina.
It's funny because I was watching a lot of the coverage, you know, on the various 24-hour news channels. And there were a lot of times they were cutting to people who were kind of standing on sunny beaches going, it's out there. Yeah. Yeah. Don't be fooled. Yep. Trying to drum up something to occupy the time because, I mean, it's at a Cat 2, obviously. It's still something that's formidable. But the course it's taking now is obviously a lot more fortuitous for the people along the coast.
Dorian could make landfall anywhere around the Charleston, South Carolina to the North Carolina Outer Banks, or it could stay out to sea completely. Small shifts in the storm's ultimate path could create very different weather conditions in various cities all along the affected states.
Just watching the Weather Channel, and they showed the series of storms that are going on.
Yeah.
In our part of the hemisphere. They're all over the damn place.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's like several of them, yeah, that are just kind of doing their thing.
Maybe they'll all battle each other, right?
It'd be nice, wouldn't
it? If they could knock each other. But 'tis the season for hurricane, please.
Yeah.
That it is.
Yeah.
As for timing, Dorian's eye is expected to push north parallel with the Georgia coast by Thursday morning. Throughout the day Thursday, the storm will move off the coast of South Carolina. All day Thursday, areas in Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina will receive rain and wind from the storm. By Friday morning, the eye of Dorian will likely be near Wilmington, North Carolina. Dorian really picks up speed Friday, pushing through the North Carolina coast. It's expected to be well off to sea by Saturday morning. Dorian virtually stalled over northwestern Bahamas in recent days as a Category 5 storm with maximum sustained winds of 185 miles per hour and gusts up to 220 miles per hour.
That's crazy.
Which caused widespread devastation. It was the most powerful hurricane on record ever to hit the Bahamas and tied for the record for the most powerful Atlantic hurricane ever to make landfall. At least seven deaths were reported there, though the full scope of the disaster still remains unknown.
So with your mom and sister living down in Florida, you know, and people who live down there get used to it after a while. Is it like us when we start to hear about potential blizzards, or
because we usually don't need a bailout plan. Yeah. So I was talking to them and they were like 3 days ago, they were like, we don't know. We're kind of, you know, keeping one eye on it and having at least an idea of what we might want to do.
That's how my family is. Like, they've seen it so much that they're like, we're going to see if it's really going to hit.
Oh, okay.
Like, they kind of waited out. And when it was downgraded, they're like, we're not going anywhere. You know, they didn't board up. They kind of just took some things inside. But,
They were at a Home Depot somewhere down there in Florida where that was originally touted as one of the places the storm might come ashore. And there was loads of plywood and generators, and they were saying it was not wiped out the way it usually is before storms.
Yeah, it's interesting. The last big one that came through the area, I remember they waited a bit too late before they decided.
I remember
they were going to bug out, and it was a real cluster F.
You were pissed off a little bit at them, right?
Well,
I'm
like, we told you to get out of town.
Right.
You know, I mean, get moving. And then they got stuck in all this traffic, and then there was the gas issue. Nobody could get gas, and it was.
They had a hard time finding somewhere to stay, right?
Yeah.
And then they eventually found, like, a motel. And
yeah. Now you know Disney World. That's where you got to go, apparently.
Yeah.
No kidding.
It's also got to suck, though, like, having to evacuate and then having it be nothing, you know? And, like, getting used to that nonsense.
Well, and that's what I think people, the way they go, man, if we leave and it's nothing, what a colossal waste of time. But then again, I think better safe than sorry.
Right.
You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean?
If death is a potential, then, you know, take the risk. Better to err on the side of caution.
Well, and I think, too, a lot of people, they don't have somewhere to go.
You know what I mean? Yeah,
so it's
true.
Like they got to board up and stay in there and, you know, hope for the best. So, we'll see where this goes. Right now it is in Florida near Daytona Beach. A manhunt is on for a suspect who allegedly opened fire on a plainclothes police officer in Philadelphia on Tuesday night. A swarm of police officers descended on the 2000 block of South Salford Street in Southwest Philadelphia. The gunman, who was wearing a hooded sweatshirt over his face, fired at least 10 shots at the officer. Officials say a plainclothes officer in an unmarked car was conducting surveillance in the area when the gunman walked up and opened fire. He shot at the driver's side of the car. The officer was not injured. Detectives spent hours combing the Southwest neighborhood block looking for the gunman, but they weren't able to locate him. The suspect is described as a 6-foot black male wearing a gray hoodie and blue jeans. Anyone with information is asked to call police at 215-686-TIPS. The shooting incident comes less than a month after a shooting standoff situation in the Tioga-Nicetown section that left 6 officers shot and several others injured. As thousands of students return to Rowan University's Glassboro campus for the fall semester, police are warning students to be on guard when using ride-sharing to get around. If you're using Lyft or Uber to get from place to place, police are recommending that you make sure you're getting in the correct car. Police have a few simple tips, like staying indoors until the driver arrives so that you don't look like you're waiting for a ride. They also urge people to check the driver's ID and make sure the model of the car and the license plate match that in the Uber or Lyft app. They also say to sit in the back seat and never disclose your personal information. Police say always tell a friend where you're going and what ride-sharing company you're using. You should also share information about the driver and the car with a friend. In sports this morning, the Phillies beat the Reds 6-2 again last night in Cincinnati.
They did it!
Bryce Harper drove in his 100th run with a single. JT Realmuto had a pair of hits and a sacrifice fly. And
they did it!
Won their third in a row. Harper's fifth inning single made him the first Philly since Ryan Howard in 2011 to make 30 homers and 100 RBIs in the same season. The series continues tonight. Aaron Nola will get the start for the Phils and Trevor Bauer. Bauer pitches for the Reds. Game time is at 6:40. The L.A. Rams and quarterback Jared Goff have agreed to terms on a 4-year contract extension that will keep Goff with the team through the 2024 season. The extension is worth $134 million and includes an NFL record $110 million guaranteed. Those figures top the ones the Eagles awarded quarterback Carson Wentz in June. Wentz got a 4-year extension worth $128 million with nearly $108 million guaranteed. Roger Federer is done at the U.S. Open. Federer's upper back and neck gave him trouble and was eventually beat in 5 sets by 78th ranked Grigor Dimitrov in the quarterfinals before the stunned crowd at Arthur Ashe Stadium last night. After Federer's loss last night, Novak Djokovic shoulder injury that leaves number 2 Rafael Nadal as the only member of the Big 3 still in the Open. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you so much, Kathy. It's Wednesday already, and that means we have a secret text word. Your chance to win some goodies this morning. A pair of tickets for the Game of Thrones live concert experience, which is coming up on the 12th of this month, and that will be at The Man. So we have 2 different ways to win. Just one thing for you to do, really, is... No, actually, there's a couple different things you need to do. You got to text word secret to 39333. Then you can just sit back and do nothing.
Yeah.
Maybe be randomly chosen to win.
That's an option.
Or you can take that word that we're going to send to you and get ready to call in with it later on this morning to win those tickets. So, yeah, you can either do something or do nothing.
Whatever the hell you want to do.
Yeah, a couple different ways. And then we're going to go live on Fox Good Day today, so we'll see what the gang wants to talk about this morning. We have some friends stopping by. J.D. McGillicuddy's in Manayunk is where the Thursday night huddle will be taking place with Bud Light Platinum. So Marissa is going to be there eventually from 7 to 9 p.m. And you can enter to win tickets to the home opener tomorrow night. What?
Yeah.
Is it tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night, you can win tickets to the home opener, which is on Sunday.
That should be worded that way.
Okay, actually able to swing another NFL home opener there.
So really?
Yeah.
So there's a home opener tomorrow?
Yeah, it's going to be tight.
Oh, traffic is going to suck.
It was a last-minute deal that they arranged.
Well, Steve, take mass transit, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. You do not want to get stuck on Main Street.
Tomorrow night, basically, go to J.D. McGillicuddy's chance that you can win tickets to the home opener on Sunday. And so that's from 7 to 9 p.m. tomorrow night. Marissa will be there. So these things and more are taking place on today's program. We'll also do a stupid question in a moment and give some stuff away there. And I have a stack of entertainment stories that we're going to pass along. So we'll take a break. Come back in a second. And all this within the sphere of the Back to School A to Z that is taking place. So lots of great songs throughout the course of the morning and the day. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Like what you hear? You can see it too. Check out Preston and Steve's Daily Rush on Xfinity On Demand.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So we're going to do the stupid question this morning. We're going to give away a four-pack of tickets for the Monster Truck Throwdown at the Bridgeport Speedway in Swedesboro, which is Saturday, September 14th, or Sunday, September 15th, whichever you choose. I'm assuming that's what that means on that. So I thought long and hard about today's stupid question.
All right.
And tell me if I've asked this one before, but what's not even a word? 215-263-WMMR.
Even if you had, it's worth revisiting.
What's not even a word? 215-263-WMMR. You get bonus points if you pronounce it properly.
Yes.
All right. And it doesn't mean you get an extra prize or anything like that. You just get bonus points. So
we get our general admiration.
Yeah, from us.
All right. 215-263-WMMR. I will mention some birthdays while we're waiting for your call. Today is Wednesday, September 4th. And it's the Queen Bee's birthday, Queen Bey.
Oh.
Beyonce. Celebrates her birthday today. I was trying to find out where the hell to turn that down.
She wants you to know.
She was just in town.
Was she?
For Made in America, yeah. I don't think she performed at all, but she watched a lot of the performances and the dance on the side of the stage. She and Jay-Z still come for it.
I got into a discussion. I was at a party not too long ago. Believe it or not, the discussion turned to Beyonce, and there were a bunch of ladies that were actually agreeing with me that, listen, she's beautiful and she's talented. I don't think she's the greatest thing that's ever happened. I think she's put up on a bit of a pedestal as far as her singing goes. There have been women that have been much more talented, in my humble opinion.
She is. I agree. Yeah. She can't take away. She's got a whole bunch of talent, and that's that. Is she on another level?
Yeah,
I don't think so.
Well, you know what? I mean, I agree with you there. Yeah. But I felt the same thing about Madonna when she was in her heyday today.
Right.
Well, but I mean, it's performer, not just singer. But I'm like, man, there are much better singers out there but whatever.
But when it comes to acting, though, she's not very good.
I mean, she's okay. Sort of how I feel about Britney Spears.
Oh my God,
she's just like barely an okay singer.
Well, I think Beyonce's better, more right than.
Oh yeah, she's better than Britney. Yeah. But at the time when Britney was the queen pop princess, yeah, I agree. Now you take somebody like an Ariana Grande, who I actually have coming up in entertainment news here in a little bit. That girl can sing.
Yeah.
She's got a great voice. I don't care for her attitude too much.
And she licks donuts.
And she did donut liquor.
Did donut liquor. God,
that hasn't gotten away yet. Beyonce is 38 today. Kim Thayil, guitarist of Soundgarden, turns 59 years old today. He's the dude with the big beefy beard, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that band still, you know, trying to keep it going. After the death of the late, great Chris Cornell. Or maybe they will try to keep it going. I'm not really sure what the status is.
No, I don't know what the status is either. They keep flirting with the notion of doing it, but how do you do it bereft of him? And I don't get it.
Yeah. But he turns 59 today. What song is this?
Been Away Too Long.
It's a good song. Yeah. I haven't heard this in a long time. So happy birthday to Kim Thayil. Then you have Dr. Pinsky, Dr. Drew.
Oh.
Dr. Drew Pinsky, Celebrity Rehab.
I've been seeing him go off lately on the news channels. He's talking about the return of basically medieval diseases to a lot of these homeless encampments.
Really?
And like Drew has picked his latest cause.
Wow. I was not aware of that. So 61 years old today. It's also Damon Wayans' birthday today. Damon's been here on a couple of occasions.
They're all great. Every time those guys come in, whether it be Sean or Damon or, you know, we had Keenan in, which is really cool.
Marlon's always awesome.
Marlon's always cool. They're just really nice. They're appreciative.
Have we had Damon in?
Yeah, we have.
The actual Damon? We've had Damon Jr.
Damon Wayans Jr. You're right. I don't think we've ever had Damon
in. I thought we had Damon in years ago.
I know we had David Faustino in.
No, I would have remembered because We did have David Faustino. I feel like I would have remembered Damon Wayans because I was a huge fan of his.
Okay, well, you guys know my memory.
Damon is 59.
Oh, you know my memory. I thought Mrs. Poole from the Hogan Family died yesterday.
It's really not a critical error.
That's had a bit of a stretch, yeah.
Yeah, she had dementia, we discovered. That was what you were responding to.
Who was here on his birthday?
That was Keenan.
That was Keenan.
Keenan was here on his birthday, yeah. So we also have Wes Bentley.
I like him.
American Beauty, who is the mysterious next-door neighbor.
I just saw him in the latest Mission Impossible movie.
Oh, yeah? He's really good. He's a baddie, yes?
No, you're thinking of Henry Cavill. Henry Cavill's kind of the baddie. Mission Impossible, he shows up towards the end. He's a doctor.
Oh, yes, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
And he's also good, believe it or not, as a demon in the original Ghost Rider with Nicolas Cage.
Oh, I didn't know that. Interstellar, The Hunger Games.
His Soulful Eyes, Preston.
Bunch of stuff. He's 41 today. Lawrence Hilton Jacobs.
Whoa!
Freddie Boom Boom Washington.
Uh-oh.
And welcome back, Cotter.
We had a co-star of his in here recently.
We did.
John Travolta.
Yeah. And remember, Steve, he was really great as Joe Jackson in the made-for-TV movie.
British. He's not white, but he pulled it off.
The Jackson's family. No, Michael Jackson, the Jackson 5.
He was great.
Not Joe Jackson, the singer, of which we have a song coming up in a little while. Lawrence Hilton Jacobs is 66. And then the last birthday I see on my list is Ione Skye. Say anything. And I probably mention this every year that we bring up her birthday, but I have always forgotten that she is the daughter of Donovan, the singer.
Yes.
Yeah, the 60s pop singer.
Mellow Yellow Donovan?
Yeah.
No kidding.
That's his daughter, Ione Skye, yeah.
I always thought, especially in that movie, she was just the ultimate, you know, dream. You could see somebody being incited to do that kind of fixation.
Yeah. I only know her from two movies, that and River's Edge.
Yeah.
And I know she's done a few other things, but I never really saw them. So, but Ione Skye made her mark absolutely with Say Anything Alone. So she is 49 today. All right, we'll see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. Really? Okay. What's not even a word?
Yes.
Come on, man.
Oh, no.
Kathy's really bummed out. You gotta have our answer. Hi, Mitch. You're on the air. Good morning. Turn your radio down because I can hear me talking right back to me.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. What's up, buddy?
Not much. How you guys doing?
Good. What's not even a word?
Transponster.
No.
Transponster.
I mean, probably, but it's a Preston and Steve show question.
And you said it the other day, Preston.
I did, right?
Yeah.
Yep. It's not even a word.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to Ashley, see if she knows. Hi, Ashley. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Ashley. Do you know the answer?
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
No.
That is a word.
That is a word. In fact, I've heard it in a song before.
Even though the sound of it is something quite atrocious.
Yeah. Let me go to Dan. Hey, Dan, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Hi, Dan, you know the answer?
Ain't.
No. Okay. Everybody on the phone lines, rethink your answer because you're all wrong.
Ask it again, Preston, with the inflection that should indicate what we're talking about.
It's not even a word.
All right.
What is that? What am I referencing? 215-263-WMMR. We'll come back to that in a moment. Ain't. I'll go through some stories, and we'll return to the calls. Manhattan prosecutors said Tuesday that they are not yet ready to try Cuba Gooding Jr.'s sex abuse case. The Jerry Maguire actor was set to begin that day. Gooding appeared relaxed, standing in Manhattan criminal court with his defense lawyer, Mark Heller.
Totally chill.
The 51-year-old star has been accused of forcible touching and sex abuse by a 29-year-old woman who said that he grabbed her breast at Manhattan's Magic Hour rooftop bar and lounge in June. Gooding pleaded not guilty.
So we saw this video, and I'm still, you know, we weren't there. It's a different angle. We can't quite tell what was going on. But all the evidence is based on just this video.
I guess. It didn't look like an assault to me.
It did not as well.
In June, Gooding surrendered to police for questioning and was subsequently released. Later, surveillance video surfaced, and it appeared to show the Oscar winner reaching over his girlfriend. Over his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Okay. Claudine De Niro, and his hand appeared near the woman's chest area, and then he kissed her hand. De Niro, by the way, the estranged wife of Robert De Niro's son, Raphael.
Oh, look at this.
Backs Gooding's account, as does Heller.
Huh.
You sick son of a bitch.
That's her man.
Yeah.
You blow it.
She sounds like him. Yeah. She sounds like Robert De Niro.
Yeah.
I will bring you down, baby. I will bring you down to Chinatown.
Wow. In June,
she must be on her period.
He told reporters there is not a scintilla of criminal culpability.
It's not even a word.
Can be attributed to Mr. Cuba Gooding Jr. after I have extensively, with my staff, reviewed the video.
With my staff, I review this video.
Of almost 2 hours, which reflects the entire event.
So the prosecutors weren't ready, though? Like, aren't you supposed to be ready if you're a lawyer and you're going to trial? Like, yeah. Isn't that job one?
I think they kind of suggest, when you get the chance, see if you can dig up some evidence.
Right.
Yeah. You know, on your time.
I've never heard of that before as a reason for not starting a case.
I'm beginning to think, Nick, this might be dismissed, this case. Because, again, if it's all predicated on this video, and we're watching it, maybe, you know, it's when described, it sounds much worse. So when you actually saw the video, it's like, that's it?
Yeah. You know what? That is pretty ridiculous, Nick, now that you mention that. You and your defense team have spent all this time preparing and getting ready for this particular day, and then you show up and they say, I'm sorry, Your Honor, we're not ready yet.
Yeah, what if the defense says that? Like,
well, you know what the deal is? A lot of times what they'll do is they're gonna want to keep bumping it along until there's maybe a settlement or there's something of that
nature. I know, but that shouldn't be a legitimate excuse. I mean, the dude in My Cousin Vinny wouldn't have put up with that.
No way.
He wouldn't. It's strictly... for procedure.
Positraction.
The trial date was pushed to October 10th, by the way.
Why do you keep talking about tires?
We're not
My there. Legs are 14.
We're not ready.
You clearly aren't. All you did was watch My Cousin Vinny in preparation for this case, which is an assault case.
Oh, yeah? Well, identical.
The defense right.
Mm-hmm.
Objection.
All right.
He's clear to the judge exactly what's going on.
They bring in the stuttering guy.
Yeah,
right.
I love that part.
I do too.
Oh, man. You know what? Let's watch that real quick.
Yeah. We'll be back in just a moment. Actually, we'll go to the phones and we'll see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. I go to Alyssa. Hey, Alyssa, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. Alyssa, what's not even a word?
Oh, rage.
Oh, rage. Yes.
That's what
See,
we're looking
for. See, she's with me.
Yeah. A couple people were getting it, so.
Do I tell the story?
I'll explain, So Kathy was playing Scrabble with her husband, and he put down the word orange. And Kathy looks at it and goes, oh, range? That's not even a word.
Well, it was because he was laying out the letters and he was so excited that he had, like, you know, I guess it was probably a big score for him. So I was like, as he was laying it out, I'm like, O-R-A, and I'm like, range? It's not even a word.
Yep.
And like 2 seconds later, I was like, oh God.
Orange.
Oh God, you win.
All right, so Alyssa, we got a 4-pack of tickets for the Monster Truck Throwdown at the Bridgeport Speedway in Swedesboro, New Jersey, Saturday, September 14th or Sunday, September 15th. Don't miss Avenger, Crush Station, Lumberjack, and more when they bring the mayhem for a monsterific display of automotive adrenaline. And last year's show sold out, by the way, so get your tickets now at bpspeedway.com.
You know they're introducing this year too, Preston? RBG Force, which is a Ruth Bader Ginsburg truck.
Wow, it's about time.
I'd love to see that.
Ariana Grande has a problem with Forever 21. According to legal documents filed in California court on Monday, the songstress has filed a lawsuit against the fashion retailer and beauty company Riley Rose, started by Forever 21's founder's daughters, accusing them of false endorsement.
I like Forever
21. Trademark infringement and copyright infringement, among other claims.
I saw this. I wonder if this is going to...
Here's the deal. With all of this, and I'm going to give you all the details, I think Forever 21 has filed for bankruptcy, so
doing well.
So, but according to the lawsuit, Forever 21 contacted the Triple Threat's representatives about the possibility of having her endorse the brand through social media marketing, including posts on Instagram and Twitter. Now, according to the statement, it said, given her stature, influence, and social media following, the market value for even a single Instagram post by Miss Grande is well into the six figures, and she commands in the mid seven figures to over eight figures for longer term endorsement deals, marketing campaigns, and or licensing deals for use of her name and likeness. While negotiations took place around December 2018 and January 2019, an endorsement deal was never reached because the amounts that Forever 21, quote, offered to pay for the right to use Miss Grande's name and likeness were insufficient for an artist of her stature. The document says. Despite no deal, though, and here's the deal. The brand launched a misleading campaign across its website and social media platforms. The lawsuit further alleges that Forever 21 suggested Grande's endorsement by posting photos of a lookalike model in clothing and accessories resembling ones from the star's music videos, including Seven Rings.
All right, so when I first saw this story, I did not know that they had been actively courting her for the product. Now, this is clearly something because, you know, the girl is sort of rocking stuff that Ariana Grande would wear. She's doing, it's not like she's the first person to put her index finger in her mouth, but there, that is certainly a, that's certainly an Ariana Grande pose.
I mean, that. Because I saw it, too, and I was like, you can't sue someone just because there's somebody else that looks like you and they've hired them. But
it actually, this has been there is a
no, I don't know.
There is a basis for this. This has happened before, I believe, with another Instagram situation. I forget who the celebrity was who was mimicked. It might have been Kim Kardashian. But it was another case where they wanted her. They didn't get her. So they had an Instagram lookalike. And there was a case in court for that.
According to the filing, Grande discovered the infringement about around February, and her representatives demanded the company take down the unauthorized uses, though, per the lawsuit, they allegedly remained up until at least mid-April, despite repeated contact from her team.
So I wonder if there would have been an issue had they just simply posted this lookalike, and if they had not tried to curry her
to
the account. And just, I think that'd be fine. Listen, we put her up because she looks like Ariana Grande. But I think there's now a case because they actively tried to get her.
Well, yeah, and the picture is so similar. I mean, they probably do sell that headband or whatever is on her head.
I have one. I wear it all the time. Yeah.
At the store, but they could have changed the photo up a bit.
All right, so...
Her name, by the way, the model's name is Ariana Latte.
Ariana Vente.
Ariana Vente.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think she looks enough like Ariana to...
It's in the ballpark. Yeah. You can see where they were going.
I think there's more pictures than this out there as well.
Yeah, same hair.
Look at this one. She's wearing a shirt that says, I am Ariana Grande.
Grande is seeking an award of compensatory and treble damages.
It screwed up her stereo.
I guess so. In an amount to be proven, but in no even less than
$10
million.
$10
million?
$10 million. $10 million. $10 million. $10 million.
I don't know.
In court, her lawyers argued pause attraction present. Wow.
If I was in the jury, I probably would not, I wouldn't vote for Ariana Grande here.
You wouldn't vote for her.
Yeah, it isn't the voice.
After you've seen all the evidence of one photo?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
By the way, Steve, to your point, Grande is following in the footsteps of Kim Kardashian, who once sued Old Navy, the parent company for The Gap, for a lookalike in the advertisement. So Kim
and they won,
that,
right?
And they won, yeah.
Okay, because, and again, it was the same case where they had courted her for they settled,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And by the way, Preston, you were right. At the end of August, they reported that they were preparing for filing for bankruptcy.
Okay.
There's 815 stores, many in undesirable malls.
You know, here's the deal with Forever 21, and I know my store as
you
well.
Do.
In
yeah.
this case, they have a wonderfully large windowsill up front where you can sit.
Yeah, they do.
If you're with your wife shopping and you can just sit there, it's comfortable.
In the window?
Right up front, big wide window. So you sit down with the other boyfriends and husbands who don't want to be there.
Which undesirable mall is that?
KOP.
KOP has one, but no, they just put one in the Plymouth
Did they?
Mall. Yeah, it's like a smaller version than, you know, King of Prussia or some of the bigger stores. But yeah, right.
One's called Temporarily 21.
Yeah, exactly.
KOP is two floors, right?
What's that?
Isn't KOP?
KOP is two floors.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes,
yeah.
It is.
Yeah. Maybe that's why they're going bankrupt.
By the way, that whole notion of providing seating and areas for shopping partners. Yeah. Put a freaking bed in there.
A couch.
It's a home run in their seating. I was reading an article how that's really conducive to extra sales.
Their Forever 21 is two floors?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I know that H&M is two floors
yes.
there.
Is look, it? Oh, look at you.
Look at me.
Hey.
Want to go today?
Let's go.
Yay!
call me.
All right, so
my wife has gift cards.
We're moving on. Renee Zellweger has read the headlines about her looks. The Oscar winner, who next can be seen in a Judy Garland biopic called Judy, sat down with New York Magazine to discuss her six-year break from the spotlight and all those plastic surgery rumors. The 50-year-old says she left Hollywood
rumors
for 6 years, starting in 2010 because she said, "I wasn't healthy. I wasn't taking care of myself. I was the last thing on my list of priorities. My therapist recognized that I spent 99% of my life as the public persona and just a microscopic crumb of a fraction in my real life.
I'm tired of these plastic surgery rumors."
She literally doesn't look like herself.
Why are people keep saying I've had plastic surgery?
She said, "I needed to not have something to do all the time, to not know what I'm going to be doing for the next 2 years in advance. I wanted to allow for some accidents."
She had a few.
They had to be some quiet for the idea. There had to be some quiet for the ideas to slip in, she says.
Her Judy Garland performance, at least in the trailer, looks pretty awesome.
The show that I saw, What If, I don't know if I watched it on Netflix. I don't know if it was a Netflix series or it just, you know, they had it on there. But that was the show that I had to go and look up and see if it was her.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yeah. Well,
there you go.
So mid-break, she sparked plastic surgery rumors after attending a red carpet event. Of the whispers, she says, "Well, because there's a value judgment that's placed on us as if it somehow is a reflection of your character, whether you're a good person or a weak person or an authentic person. And the implication that I somehow needed to change what was going on because it wasn't working, that makes me sad. Huh? I don't look at beauty in that way, and I don't think of myself in that way. I like my weird quirkiness, my off-kilter mix of things. It enables me to do what I do. And I don't want to be something else."
What?
Okay.
I don't understand that argument.
Just how about just saying I didn't get plastic surgery?
or say that you did and own it and move on.
Yeah, 100%.
I had a nip and a tuck, and I feel a little bit better about myself as a result.
By the way, it's sort of a job requirement, you know, and if you're an actor or actress, to get the nips and tucks periodically.
But why is it, like, always hiding?
We were having this conversation. A couple people were over at the house, and they look so strange. They look so strange when they do this. But where they live and in the circles they operate in, they would look strange if they let themselves age normally.
Well, okay, no, is there a difference between just like plastic surgery, right? So, yes. Like, what is plastic surgery as opposed to a nip and a tuck?
This is the same thing, right?
No, they're the same. It's all under the same umbrella. It's cosmetic surgery.
Cosmetic surgery.
Like Botox and stuff like that is just injections. That's not considered cosmetic surgery.
Right. Yeah, plastic surgery is just a term. It's a slang term for cosmetic surgery.
Okay.
By the way, if you ever want to see a great show, it's wild. I don't know if it's great, but it's certainly engrossing. It's called Botched, and these plastic surgeons take care of botched plastic surgeries. Pretty wild.
Meanwhile, it seems the industry is here for her return, though critics are giving her rave reviews for her portrayal of Judy Garland. The Hollywood Reporter Scott Feinberg wrote that she is, quote, poised to garner the fourth Oscar nomination of her career.
How about that?
Wow. Judy opens on September 27th. I am interested in seeing that. When news broke that Robert Pattinson had been cast as Batman, fans rejoiced, but the actor tells Variety that he was furious and was worried that the rumor mill had blown his deal. He said, "When that thing linked, I was effing furious. Everyone was so upset. Everyone was panicking from my team. I sort of thought that had blown up the whole thing." He added, "It was terrifying, and I was like, oh, man, does that screw me because they are so intent on secrecy." He said he took to Google to see if there were rumors of the studio backing down, but thankfully it's now official. He will play Batman in Matt Reeves' rendition of the classic.
I'm totally down with this.
Patton said that he grew up watching the Caped Crusader. He said when I was a kid, it was the only outfit that I had, and admitted to attempting to get multiple meetings with Reeves before finally succeeding. He also said the grown-up bat suit is different than the kiddo version. He said, "You do feel very powerful immediately, and it's pretty astonishing, something that is incredibly difficult to get into. So the ritual of getting into it is pretty humiliating." So you got five people trying to shove you into something. And once you've got it on, it's like, yeah, I feel strong. I feel tough, even though I had to have someone squeezing my butt cheeks into the legs. He also opened up about an unexpected theme throughout his career. He says, "I keep pleasuring myself."
What? Wow.
I said in the last three or four movies, I've got a self-pleasure scene. I did it in High Life. I did it in Damsel and the Devil all the time. I only realize when I did it the fourth time. So maybe they'll have Batman cranking his yank.
Whack man. That's wild.
Or yanking his crank, I should say.
Preston, he hasn't announced this officially, neither has the studio, but he's been dropping hints on Twitter and other social media posts that Michael Giacchino will be doing the music for the Batman.
Ooh. If someone wants to yank a guy's crank, I say let him.
That would be cool. The question I have is, does the universe that Joaquin Phoenix's Joker exist in going to cross with this Batman?
I don't know.
Are they the same world?
There is a there's a Bruce Wayne and a
John Wayne.
No. Who's Batman's dad?
Oh,
Mr. Wayne.
Thomas Wayne.
Yeah.
In the Joker, or in Joker.
Yes, and he punches the Joker in the face.
Yeah, and the guy that plays Thomas Wayne was in The Dark Knight. It's a guy named Brett Cullen. I looked this up last night, and he was the congressman that got sort of abducted by Anne Hathaway. Remember that in one of the Dark Knight movies?
Yeah. So, okay. All right. We'll see if this works out.
So he plays Thomas Wayne in Joker.
All right.
Let's see what else I have here for you. Days after news broke that SNL fave Leslie Jones would not return this season, the 51-year-old broke her silence. She teased amazing things. I know you will be as excited as I am when you see some of the amazing projects and adventures that I have coming up very soon. She went on to thank her castmates and creative team. She said, I cannot thank NBC, the producers, writers, and amazing crew enough for making SNL my second home these last 5 years. To the incredible cast members, I will miss working, creating, and laughing with you. I will miss holding it down with Keenan every day. I will miss Cecily Strong's impression of me making me laugh at myself often. I will miss Kate, her loving hugs and talks when I needed. And, of course, Colin, you porcelain skin Ken doll. I will miss all my castmates. She said, especially being at the table reads with them. Everyone needs to know Leslie Jones couldn't have done any of those things I did without these people. One last thing to the fans. You are the best. Thank you for all the love and support throughout my SNL years.
What she have coming up?
She hasn't said yet.
Oh, yeah. She's hosting Supermarket Sweep.
She is?
Yeah, that's what I... Well, but listen, that's what I read.
I always love Supermarket Sweep.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
By the way, Jones was hired as a writer in 2014 and then quickly became a regular performer. She earned her third Emmy nom in July.
And she's going to be in Coming to America.
Yeah, that's right.
There you go.
I mentioned that a little while back, yeah. Terminator star Linda Hamilton divorced the film's director James Cameron in 1999, and she reveals that since then she's been basically celibate. Since 1999.
Wow.
She tells the New York Times, I've been celibate for the last 15 years. One loses track because it just doesn't matter, or at least it doesn't matter to me. I have a very romantic relationship with my world every day and the people who are in it.
Come with me if you want to get laid.
The 62-year-old also said that it was a tough decision to return to Hollywood after a multi-year retreat. She said, I gave it probably 6 weeks of intense thinking and consideration before deciding to do it.
So she's an ex. The director of Hurt Locker, Catherine Bigelow, is a James Cameron ex. And he's currently married to the woman who played Rose's granddaughter in Titanic, right?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, that's the last I heard who he was in a relationship with. She goes on to say, I wasn't sure if I wanted to. I didn't want it to look like a shameless money grab. I am living this quiet, lovely life that doesn't involve being a celebrity. And you really have to think, do I really want to trade that in again for another 15 minutes?
I thought she was awesome in the original Terminator. That she immediately popped as someone you wanted to protect. But then she becomes this badass in Terminator 2.
But is she saying if she has to live a Hollywood life, then she can't be celibate?
No.
It's kind of required that you just bang everybody.
She's going to be in Terminator Dark Fate, which will be in theaters November 1st. So, there. I could go without any Kardashian stuff if you guys want, or I could give you something.
Skip it.
Well, all right, we'll skip it.
Then let it go.
It's stupid.
Let it go, as they say in Frozen.
Are Lily Allen and Stranger Things star David Harbour dating?
Ho-ho!
This is way better.
I had to look up Lily Allen, and I still don't know who she is. Is she a singer?
I believe so, right?
I think she's a dancer.
Oh, no.
No, she was a dancer.
She's a dancer?
Oh, my God!
Stop. Oh, I like her.
Oh, her brother's Alfie Allen from Game of Thrones.
And Lily Allen is from a while. She was career was on fire about 8 years ago, so 9 years ago.
Her brother is Theon Greyjoy,
yes,
from Game of Thrones, and she's a singer. No,
she was a dancer.
Jinx, oh my God!
Honestly, is she a singer?
She's a singer.
All right.
Her brother is Marcus Allen.
Honestly.
And Preston, is she a singer?
Yeah, she's a singer.
I'm not doing it.
Why not?
No, she was a dancer.
Jinx, oh my God!
Stop. Gets worse.
Okay, I thought she was an actress.
No, she's a singer.
She was a dancer.
Jinx, oh my God! Okay.
She said she had a couple of hits. She was at, yes. What are some of her hits? We all know her hits.
Well, the girl that we're looking at, the girl that we have up in this photo, I think is the actress that I looked up on IMDb.
No, that's the singer.
No, she was a dancer.
No, she was a dancer.
Jinx, oh my God!
Lily Allen, for Christ's sake. She's a musician, right?
Okay.
Are we looking up two different people?
Lily Allen. I got some Lily Allen stuff here for you.
All right.
Fresh off of the oven.
It's 5 o'clock in the morning. The conversation got boring. You said you'd go into bed soon. So I snuck off to your bedroom. And I thought I'd just wait there.
Lily Allen. Okay. She was a singer.
Shut up.
As soon as I heard that voice, I have her in my iTunes account.
There are a ton of acting credits for...
No, those are soundtrack.
Someone named Lily Allen. Those are soundtrack. Yeah.
Oh. Those are not acting credits.
Okay. We all clear?
An actor?
Are we clear? No. She's a singer.
She has a song called F.U.
Okay. Yes. I know that one. All right.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyhow, they might be dating, her and David Harbour. Londoners have spotted the two out hanging out and, of course, post about it on social media. Somebody wrote, David Harbour, when on earth did this happen? And it was alongside a screenshot of her, of her TV screen showing the couple at a boxing event.
Huh, good for him.
They first sparked rumors earlier this month when they were spotted taking in a West End performance of the Lehman Trilogy.
Are we good enough friends with him now to just blow a call in?
Of course we are.
Yeah.
What time is it in London?
We did have a really good time with him.
Yeah.
Like he was noon?
Super nice guy. Yeah. It's
so he's probably up.
Yeah, we give him a call.
Hello?
Yeah. David.
Yeah, David, it's Preston and Steve. Are you dating Lily Allen?
Yeah.
She's a singer, right?
No, she was a dancer.
Jinx, oh my God!
What are Casey and Kathy doing on this call?
We had to do that because this is funny.
Yeah. Okay, bye.
All right, one last story. Game of Thrones stars Emilia Clarke and Rose Leslie are taking some time out in India where they appear to have been victims of a bit of acute crime.
Acute crime.
Yes, Clarke wrote on Instagram Friday about being robbed blind by monkeys, but confessed that, quote, we hardly put up a fight. She shared an image of monkeys stealing fruit from what appeared to be a hotel
room.
Monkey. Yeah.
You're a little monkey, are you?
They stole their car, right?
No, just some fruit. Clarke added that she and Leslie were just, quote, two gals buzzed off our faces in India. The trip had allowed her to figure out that she said that all you're ever looking for can be found within. Corny as hell, but my God, it is true. She also showed love for Leslie, who is, of course, married to Kit Harington, with the hashtag Rose Leslie has my heart and soul wrapped up in her.
So, yes, there are some locations that are famous for their thieving monkeys.
Yeah.
India is one of them. Where are the...
Gibraltar, they show
Gibraltar,
up.
Gibraltar, yes, right.
Yeah. All right, so I think we're set for some clips. Let's see, where do we begin? How about this? Suits features a talented college dropout working his way up in a prestigious law firm while trying to keep this secret from them. Here, Gabriel Macht details.
Yeah.
Did you guys plan that?
We do. We have to.
We've been working together for 20 some years. We have an unwritten language.
There's an unwritten language.
Not a thing.
An unsaid, unthought of language. Yeah.
Gabriel Macht.
Yeah.
Details what keeps this. Seemingly perfect character humble.
He makes mistakes, and he is flawed. Even though he presents himself in a very slick way, he's covering what's underneath. He's got abandonment issues. He's got loyalty issues. And I think all of us as humans have issues.
Shut the f*** up!
That's Gabriel mocked.
Yeah!
Suits airs tonight at 9.
You guys rehearsed that.
USA. Here's the next clip. There's a wedding, a funeral, and a new housewife in the new season of Real Housewives of Dallas.
Ooh. Oh, my God. That sounds phenomenal.
The tensions are higher than ever in this clip. Leanne Locken declares the one thing she wants to see from her friend Stephanie Holloman.
Oh. She's authentic to being a good person, and she just doesn't falter from it, no matter how much she's pushed or called otherwise. What I would love to see Stephanie do more of is speak her opinion, and I think that it would be nice to see Stephanie just really unleash on some people.
You suck my d- and shut the f- up, huh?
You can't use the word authentic.
No.
When ridiculous. Describing anything about these shows.
I hate them as much as you do, Preston. However, if it were Philly, I would watch. Because
would you?
Yeah, because I think we'd be connected somehow to at least one of the people on the show.
There's no way I would. There's no way I'd watch
maybe,
them.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. If it's somebody that we might know.
Weren't they trying to
stand these women?
To cast one around here at one point?
Yeah, they were. Season 4 of Real Housewives of Dallas premieres tonight at 9 on Bravo.
And so ridiculous.
That is what I have for you this morning. So we have a secret text word chance for you to win tickets to the Game of Thrones live concert experience September 12th at The Man. Text the word secret to 39333. We have our friends stopping by from J.D. McGillicuddy's today. We'll do some giveaways with them because the 2019 Bud Light Platinum Thursday Night Huddle is returning this year. Marissa is going to be at J.D. McGillicuddy's tomorrow night. Your chance to win tickets to the home opener while you're there from 7 to 9 p.m. So don't forget about that. We'll do giveaways, like I said, a little bit. And something I haven't mentioned at all this morning. We have an announcement coming up around the Bizarre File time about an event that we have really fallen in love with over the years. So
it's great.
Yeah. So we'll get the details out on that. And the Back to School A to Z is all going on. We have some really good tunes that we're going to be playing this morning connected to that. So we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get some music from that list and continue our Wednesday morning. Stay with us.
Best burger in all of Philadelphia. Taste for yourself at this year's Burger Brawl in a brand new spot.
Round one. Fight.
Join 93.3 WMMR at the Navy Yard, Sunday, September 15th, and enjoy unlimited bites of burgers from the city's top restaurants. Proceeds benefit the Fund for the School District of Philadelphia, a nonprofit supporting school literacy programs through technology. Tickets on sale now. Get complete details and all the ingredients for a great day at WMMR.com. Burger Brawl 2019. Let's go a few rounds. 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
We have an announcement coming up in a little while around Bizarre File time, another Preston and Steve event, so stay close for that information. We're officially back to school now. Everybody should be back to school by this time. My kids started last week, and it's interesting because I am, obviously... But I'm way out of touch with essentially what social classes are in the school years for kids these days. Because growing up, it was pretty clear delineation when I was in middle school, junior, whatever you want to call it.
Kind of standard, right?
Who the jocks were and who the popular kids were, even the punks and the freaks there were all these groups. And I don't even know.
Well, Ferris Bueller, she sort of reels off the... That's versions of that have existed throughout school.
Yeah, but the last few years of high school, because my kids are now upperclassmen, or my son graduated last year, and my other son's a junior. That the definitions are kind of blurred. Like everybody, I don't see as much.
No, I think there's a lot of crossover from what I, because I hang around schools a lot. I mean, they chase
me away. Of course
you do.
Yes, but
obviously there are certain things I've restraining things. But for the most part, I have what's going on.
So I was surprised the other day when my daughter came to me and described a very specific detail of what I'm assuming. I don't know if it's a social class or if it's just a fashion or what.
Huh.
But I was like, okay, this is all new to me, and I've forgotten what the full description is. So if anybody wants to call in, if you're familiar with this term, but VSCO girls?
VSCO girls.
Yeah. And that's spelled V-S-C-O.
Yeah.
Visco, you've heard of this now?
I have. I hadn't heard of it until Friday. And okay. So I learned about it just as recently as you did, Preston. Visco,
from Ben?
No, from BuzzFeed, of all places. Okay. I read an article about it. I saw Visco online somewhere, right, as about a post. I didn't know what those letters meant, V-S-C-O.
Yeah, I still don't know.
It's an app, and it stands for Visual Supply Company, right? And, the reason that I know that it's an app is that my girlfriend does some photography on the side, and she's used this app to process photos. What girls now are doing, Preston, is they're taking this app and they are applying it to their social media posts, and now it's also become its own social media thing.
Nick, look at this top text. Do you know what that means?
Uh-uh.
Okay. So it just says SK, SK, SK. Apparently they go around going
Wait, like okay.
So crickets.
There's a Visco.
So what is it?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure this out. Our phone lines are lighting up, so we'll find out in a minute.
It's
right. That's what it is.
Far as social status goes, it's a new thing for this school year. It's brand new. But
how is it social status though?
Because it's a look. So basically,
it's a look.
If you are a Visco girl, you are you kind of look like you came from the beach. You wear a scrunchies around your wrist.
Scrunchies are a big
Seriously?
Thing.
You carry
on your wrist.
You carry around a hydro flask. And you have a natural look, Kathy. So you don't go heavily made up.
So like Renee Zellweger.
Not like Renee. No. And you.
So it's not like a filter that is.
It is. Yeah, yeah. So the Visco app is a filter that you can apply, but it's a lighter filter. So sometimes Instagram models will go very heavy on their filters, right?
Right, right, right.
And so you look incredibly made up, and you will take an Instagram app, and you'll use that app to change your look, essentially, on your social media posts.
It happens all the time.
Visco girls, Steve, don't do that. They go the opposite route. They go very natural.
Completely raw.
Very light makeup.
Unfiltered.
Yeah, and there are two essential settings on the Visco app that you use for your look. And now it's translated from this app to real life.
Okay.
Wow, man. Preston, so when... in school, we had Crisco girls. We ate a lot of fried chicken.
Yeah, sure.
Crisco girl.
They would bring fried chicken to school.
Yeah, those are Crisco girls.
Crisco girls.
Yeah. My
Florence Henderson was a Crisco. Westonality.
And there we go.
That's Crisco girl.
It's them eating the skin off of the chicken.
My phone is going crazy with all my friends who have like teenage kids.
Okay.
Crisco girls?
Jumping in, right?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, let me go to some calls here. I have Lauren on the line. Hey, Lauren, good morning.
Hi, good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing wonderful. So you have a 9-year-old, it says here.
Yes, my daughter is 9 years old, and I just recently was informed of what in the world a Visco girl is, and it is nothing but scrunchies and these hydro flask water bottles that are like $50 for a water bottle.
By the way, okay, guys, I don't know what a hydro flask is.
I don't either.
It's like a Yeti, but...
it's a name brand.
It's a brand name, and it's just a water bottle.
It's a canteen that you carry around.
Yeah. Visco girls carry around, Preston.
Yeah, Preston.
It's obnoxious. The amount of money her father paid for that water bottle.
They're not. I mean, Yetis are expensive as well. I mean, you know, it's not just water, Preston. You can put anything in there. That's okay.
Anything.
Let me ask you, Lauren. So your 9-year-old was sort of hitting you up for gear so that she herself could become a Visco girl.
Absolutely. She now wears oversized T-shirts, so I have to check to make sure she has shorts on.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So Caroline, my daughter, was wearing a shirt, and it was too long. She's like, I'm tucking this in because I don't want to look like a Visco girl. Not that meaning that she doesn't want to be one, but she just, it looks like you're not wearing pants.
Not wearing pants. Okay,
yeah,
I've seen this.
You're not wearing shorts.
I've seen this. I've seen the looking like you're not wearing shorts.
Where did that look? That look has been around before.
No, but I've recently seen it pick up, and I'm like, look at these kids. Like, their shorts are so short that they look like they're wearing any.
My dad was a Visco girl before anyone knew. He just wore a long coat and shorts.
Yeah.
You also might have known them as flashers.
Yeah.
The long t-shirts and the puka shell necklaces.
That's the other thing, the puka shell necklaces. Yes. Yeah.
Dude, that's right out of the 90s.
It is.
Yeah.
Scrunchies on the wrist. You want to talk about 90s scrunchies on the wrist? I remember when outfits came with a scrunchie attached to it, and they are coming back.
See, but here's the thing. I need to see. Thank you for your call, by the way, Lauren. I'm going to go to some other ones. I appreciate it. I need to see a girl wearing this because I see, in addition to the scrunchies on the wrist and all this other stuff, like big hair and makeup, but that's... That's not, it's the opposite.
That's not a Visco girl. This is more like
a Crisco
surfer girl. I would say this sounds like surfer girl meets hippie.
Okay. You know? It's kind of like a beach girl thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Peace, right. Is your daughter into it? Or is she Visco? What do you say? Help me out here, guys.
She's a Delco girl.
She's a Delco girl, Kat. You know what? I don't know. I don't
Visco?
Know. I don't know how new this scene is, but here's the deal. My kids go to Catholic school, so they all wear the same thing at school, and then we just got done in the summer, and we were down the beach all the time. So
they're but Christ-co. Listen, when they get home from school, they change out of their school clothes?
Yeah, and like comfy clothes.
Okay, so they wouldn't, but the fashion's not.
No, like I saw like Crocs is another, you know.
But that, you brought that up a week or two ago, Casey. Yeah. How Crocs are coming back, and Kathy didn't believe you. But
she's like, no, they're not.
What I said was
they are not coming back for adults.
Okay, but Visco girls are way into Crocs and Birks.
And apparently, what I saw a text that the is supposed to be a camera sound.
Oh my god!
I don't.
I love it. I want to be a
you
Visco
do?
Boy.
Oh,
see, we have girls on film.
I think we do, as a matter of fact.
With the camera sound effect.
We were looking at a picture of a Visco girl, Preston, who had the flask, who had the Crocs, who had the shirt that makes it look as if she's not wearing shorts.
Yep.
And the shirt was an Endless Summer.
Jeez. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
There it is.
That's it.
All right, let me go to Alyssa, a middle school teacher.
All right.
She's knee-deep in Visco girls. Hi, Alyssa. How you doing? Doing great. What do you want to tell us about all this?
Yeah, so I'm a middle school teacher, so Visco girls are everywhere. It's all about Crocs with socks and Birkenstocks with socks, the scrunchies, the puka shell necklaces. The
Birkenstocks with socks is part of this?
Yes, Birkenstocks with socks.
Uh-huh. Okay, now question. Did you see any of this last year, Alyssa?
No, nothing last year.
Okay,
wow. So
we're just flared up.
We're at the flashpoint.
Okay.
TikTok is like an app. It was Musical.ly, and now it's TikTok.
You do these short videos. Yeah, my daughter was obsessed with that for
a
while.
I have TikTok.
So do I, Kathy. I've had it for years.
Wow. Okay. So this had its inception on the TikTok app.
Now, let me ask you, Alyssa, do the girls kind of congregate together? Has this become a clique?
Yes, and it's like the popular thing to do, just like maybe a couple years ago, like the low-rise jeans and the crop tops. Now it's all about the extra-long T-shirt and the super short shorts.
Okay, I got you.
I mean, listen, that was. I mean, not the super, you know, over the shorts, but I mean, I always wore big clothes. There was a period of time where we looked like we were 900 pounds only because we wore oversized
baggy
clothes.
Stuff. Yeah. Baggy stuff.
Yeah. Right, so my daughter, my oldest, is definitely a Visco girl. She is. She has the puka necklace.
All right.
She definitely has the croc.
Scrunchies.
You know, I got to pay attention to the scrunchie
part. I just asked you that.
Well, because
now he's putting it together. Yeah.
Now we're sort of putting it together. When I heard the puka shell, I'm like, oh, you know what? Like, I was. She was trying to put one on the other day. I'm like, oh, she start wearing that thing.
I'm gonna go to Katie. Hi, Katie. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. You guys rock.
Thank you, Katie. What's up?
So I was literally just talking to somebody about this yesterday. About a week ago, my daughter asked me to buy her scrunchies. She's 8 years old. I'm not thinking anything about it. And then just like Nick on BuzzFeed, I see all this stuff about Visco girls, and I'm thinking, what the hell is this? So I go on and I look it up, and I'm thinking, okay, well, I feel like I have time before my sweet 8-year-old picks up on this thing. 45 minutes later, from the other room, I hear, and I look. And I walk into the room, and I'm like, what did you just say? And she goes, oh, I'm just being a Visco girl. And I'm like, when I said I had time before you picked this up, I didn't mean 45 minutes.
Wow. So it's sweeping across the...
Thanks, Katie.
The young girls. Wow.
Yeah. What about the little yarn bracelets, the rope bracelets? Is that a thing?
I still have one of those.
Yeah.
So
I'm understanding it now. So it's whoever... I think it was Casey said it's a mix between a hippie and what did
Surfer.
You say? Surfer.
Yeah.
So it's more of a look than social status. Or is
but
hippie
considered...
But the
social
status...
It
creates a social
comes
status.
With the look.
Comes
yeah,
with
yeah,
the look.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So if you are adopting the look, you become part of this social group.
So, but it's similar to saying, oh, she's a hippie.
Yeah, I guess.
But it seems to be less hippie and more beach
girl.
No,
I'm not saying the same type of style, but that's you would refer to somebody as a hippie. But you're like, referring to a girl as a Visco.
So where is the genesis? Where is the derivation? This comes to me sits squarely in the 90s, right?
What, the style?
Maybe, I even see a little parts 80s in it. I mean, but
early
90s. Yeah, scrunchies with
80s. Yeah.
I actually like this style. I don't...
Yeah, it's and it seems, cute. I mean, it's yeah. not well, it's, overly done up. I
it's
mean,
cute. So it seems to be that, the younger girls are, get away with like, it. It's right. okay with younger girls.
Middle school.
Disco.
Yeah, I'm going to go.
Not a leather bustier.
Right. Yeah.
Let me go to Amanda here. Amanda, good morning.
Morning. How are you guys?
Good. What's up, Amanda?
So I actually just found out that my daughter is a disco girl.
When did you find out?
Right now.
Oh, just listening to the show. All right. What has she been doing to show that she's visco?
All of it. The scrunchies, the Birkenstock, the wow. outfits, the shell necklace. And I just was like, oh, just what the girls are doing. I didn't realize it was like a type of style. And it doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, it's weird because we're looking, Amanda, at some of the things that are the considered the gear for the visco girl. And it looks like there's an old style. Is that an old style Instamatic camera?
Yeah. There,
yeah, with the
lower
right hand corner.
Lower right. And then all this stuff is just it's sort of like handpicked from different points
of time.
That's
the thing. Who decided all this stuff, all these various things together make this, you know what I mean?
A visco girl.
Yeah.
I think it's just a style. I keep relating it to the hippie. It's just
it
the
is,
hippie
but
like
somebody
the...
had to put these pieces together. They don't necessarily automatically go together.
The thing, Preston, that you're reacting to, and I think I agree, is because like things like this would happen over the course of a little while, and like in school, going to school, you start to see people adopting something, and there'd be a movie, or there'd be something that they would, yeah. or a musician or somebody they're responding to. But this seems to, for a lot of the people are saying from 0 to 60.
I know,
because of social media.
It's like the now this isn't a fashion thing, but it was an accessory people had. Remember the fidget spinners?
Oh yeah,
like, that took off in 10 minutes.
Boom,
and yeah. everybody had them, and then they were gone.
Look at this Visco Girl Starter Pack.
You can buy this
$150.
Should we get it, guys?
It says Giant Visco Starter Pack.
I have Preston, we need to start. We need to be Crisco boys.
Scrunchies, Crocs.
I like those tie-dye Crocs.
What else? There's the shorts and the oversized shirt. What do you see?
No, Kathy liking the Crocs.
I like the tie-dye
just
Crocs.
Just like 10 minutes ago, she's like, not for adults.
Oh, well, no, I wouldn't buy them and wear them.
But, Steve, it's funny because you were talking about how these things, how they can happen so quickly. When people are getting back to school this week and they come home demanding the scrunchies, that means that like this thing is taken off and they want to be like all the other people who are in the group.
That's funny.
Some people are texting in, and I've gotten some emails that there is a phrase that goes along, not just the SK one. I oop. I don't know what that means.
There's another one, Nick.
No, that's mine. You can't have that.
I oop
is a
can
thing.
Can we make that part of the Crisco boys?
Sure.
Yeah.
That's allowed.
But all right, how is I oop spelled?
I oop is I, the letter I, and then OOP.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Again, it said I oop. Here it is. I oop can be used as a reaction to express sudden surprise or shock over an unexpected situation. That's like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
For example, you can say it if someone calls someone else out on social media in a mic drop moment, as in I oop. Okay.
Because it says here, honestly, who says mic drop anymore? That's old now.
That's so old.
I guess it's like OMG.
Instead of shorts, if you wear a thong, it could be a Cisco girl.
Cisco girl, yeah. See, that's now.
Or if you can rent.
That's like considered classical music, Preston.
Affordable vacation homes, you could be a VRBO girl, right? Yeah.
VRBO?
A Vrbo girl.
Yeah.
What's that? VRBO? You don't know VRBO?
No, I don't.
What?
You didn't know what a Visco girl was.
Yeah. Well, I mean, VRBO has been around forever.
It's like a home away or whatever. You rent other people's houses.
I don't rent other people's houses.
I know.
I don't
That's
like
why
that
I'm explaining
idea.
To you. You know what it is.
I go to hotels.
So I just looked up the...
Let me live in your filth.
I just looked up the hashtag on Instagram. And so like each one of those pieces, like there's a picture of these beaded bracelets and necklaces. You know, it's just like, it's exactly those pieces.
Did you ever rock puka shells, Kath? Any of you? You did, Preston. You had a puka shell.
Yes, I liked them.
Yeah.
I did as a kid. And the case you asked about the yarn bracelets, that's in here too.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
And they're the most, it looks like the, I don't, you guys probably don't know, but it's a Pura Vida bracelet is what it is. And it used to be, you used to get it, if you ordered from Pura Vida, you used to get it for free. It was like something that they would just add in to the shipment. Yeah. And now that's what these kids are wearing.
Okay. I had a coral necklace for a while. I don't know if that was ever cool or not, but the people were wearing them in the mid-90s. And by people, I mean at least me and some of the guys I knew.
In seventh grade, I tried to make the Gimp mask work.
No.
And,
didn't no.
Nobody could understand you.
People would come back from spring break with the, you know, the braids in the hair and the coral necklaces. Yeah,
I'm gonna go to Jason. Hi, Jason. Good morning.
Morning.
What's up, buddy?
I just found out last night my daughter was a VSCO girl.
Let's start a support group.
Yes.
Because that's what this sounds
parents
like.
Parents of VSCO girls.
How did you find out?
I didn't even know what it was. She was explaining it to me, and I'm like, all right, get online. She got online. She showed it to me, and lo and behold, I look down, and she's wearing everything that she was explaining to me.
You know, the thing is, let me ask you this, Jason. It's more a conservative look. It's not, like, overly provocative. It's just...
Other than the short shorts.
Yeah, other than looking like you're not wearing pants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I oop myself when she told me all that.
Yeah.
I've also heard that some of the girls will give the scrunchies to their boyfriends to indicate that that's their boyfriend.
Oh, really? Oh. Okay.
The short shorts has been like a long, I mean, that's been going on for a little while.
Comes and goes.
Yeah, but they have been getting shorter and shorter. I just noticed this as my daughter's getting older and older. I'm like, uh-oh.
I was driving
Hopefully this trend will make the shorts go longer.
I was driving through Nova's campus yesterday, and there were some freshman girls who were walking along Route 30. They all were dressed identically, but they were wearing sort of the high-rise shorts.
I've seen those.
How would you describe those? Like the shorts
high-rise.
That come out? Yeah, okay, yeah. And they were all dressed the same. They were not dressed like VSCO girls.
But right. This is, I mean, I'm sorry, Press.
No, go ahead.
It's just sort of the trend of kids, you know, they're searching for their individuality, and by doing that, they end up dressing like everybody else because it's really
you don't
really
want to be left out.
Yeah. That's the way things happen.
Yep.
I'm going to go to Kelly. Hi, Kelly. You're on the air. Hey,
Hey,
what? What's up, Kelly?
Hello?
It's a bad girl. She's not hearing.
Hang on. You're on the air, Kelly. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, great. So my daughter will be 12, and she wrote out her birthday list. And everything on that list exhumes a VSCO girl.
Really?
So her top thing is this hydro flask. My husband said, you're going to have to find somebody else to get it for you because the one she wants is $45.
Wow.
It's the same as, you know, any one that we would get from Target. That's $8.
God.
But you can't have a knockoff.
No, it's got to be the real thing.
No, girls will be very...
No,
they'll be very petty about that. Yeah, you got to make sure you got an authentic stuff.
It's the Birkenstocks. It's the Heine Nike socks is on there.
Oh, the Heine.
High knee.
Yeah, I heard the same thing.
Heine socks.
Heine socks. Yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah.
I think you're going to dress like your grandpa.
Okay.
I don't know, man. You
thanks,
know,
Kelly.
Preston, do you remember? And I'm sure you're like me. I spent a ton. My whole... It was brief, but my whole material girl outfit. The bridal thing.
I had that.
Pink dress.
I needed, when I was in middle school, I needed parachute pants, man.
Yeah.
They were the thing at the time. Parachute pants with Velcro fly.
And you watch those suckers come back.
Velcro wallet.
Yeah.
Thing. Yep. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Umbro shorts. Remember the Umbro shorts craze?
Also jams.
Uh-huh.
Jams were in the 80s.
OP as well.
Not Gotcha. There was one that started with the G. Maybe it was Gotcha.
You know what's interesting?
Garanimals.
Apparently, one of the accessories are Vans.
Yeah.
And Vans have been around for a long time.
Yeah.
And they haven't really...
But checkered Vans are for VSCO girls.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. See, I remember the first time I ever saw the checkered Vans was when Spicoli was banging it on his head saying, that's my skull, I'm so wasted. I'm like, those shoes are amazing. And they're still around and still popular.
We have the origin of Oop, press in there.
All right, we'll get to it in just a second.
Nick, you know that I love you, but I do find it a little creepy that you know the most about this. Well, anyone
you looked
it
up on BuzzFeed. Research.
Yeah, no, I stalk 12-year-olds.
Right?
Yeah.
No, I mentioned it to him the other day, yesterday, and he's like, I just found out about this.
So, I was curious about
it. Yeah, yeah. I will go to Joe. Hey, Joe, you're on the air.
The Oop thing is like a West Coast thing. It's been over there for a little while. It comes from a thing of Vine. Of this, like, in lack of better terms, transgender lady sitting there doing a vlog, and she's wearing nothing but a bathrobe, everything's covered, and she goes to, like, shift her leg, and her face just drops, and she's like, I hope.
We've got the video up right now, so she had crushed her nuts, is that what you're saying, Joe?
Yeah, Yep, that's the thing. That's
okay,
so it's the shock.
So it's just, I-oop. I gotcha, now it makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, do you want to hear it?
Interesting. Oh, yeah.
Jasmine
thanks,
Masters, I think.
All right.
I crashed in my back seat for a couple of hours, and I, oop.
Okay.
And that's funny.
And, okay. And hence the beginning of a new phrase.
Wow, bizarre.
Sitting on your balls created a thing.
Where some things come from and, yet and how they take off.
We can't get
people can,
to, yeah. to take yeah. off.
Nobody can pronounce it.
And it's very hard.
That's yeah, the only thing.
I would be much easier.
Once and done.
Let me see.
Magic in a bottle.
I will go to Andy. Hi, Andy. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's up, Andy?
I'm driving my daughter to school, and she is sitting right next to me, and she's sitting there confirming everything you guys are saying, except for it's not checkered vans, it's low-top vans, any kind of low-top vans.
Any type
any
of low-top
vans. Yeah, okay, yeah, my daughter has checkered low-top vans. All right. She's a VSCO girl.
You didn't even know.
Yeah.
It's like finding out a family member's an Elvis impersonator.
Well, I don't necessarily care about the title. You know what I mean? What I do know is that whatever she wears, I'm like, okay, that's
it's
cute.
Good. It's okay for you.
I like those shorts. I like.
She's sitting right next to me.
All right.
You wear Fila's, Birkenstocks, medium leg high socks, Crocs with jibbies in them, low top Vans. You wear pearl necklaces, shell necklaces, baggy shirts, short shorts. Your hair up in a messy bun and a bunch of scrunchies.
All right, there you go.
That's it.
She got it all.
Yeah. This is what my daughter was telling me the other day, and the list went on and on and on of all this stuff, and I'm like, how did these people have time to find that this is everything you need to fit in this category, you know?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Andy.
So she said Fila, which I find funny that there's a couple of different brand names that are working its way back in.
Oh, yeah.
Champion is one.
Yes.
You would never see anybody wearing Champion for the last decade plus. It's been Nike, Under Armour. I mean,
have we said time and time again? And people say, oh, no, that's not coming back. They always, it's like the Stephen King story, Preston. They always come back.
Yeah. But picking the ones that come back, that's where the mystery is. You know, you never, who would have suspected it'd be Champion, but all of a sudden it is. But the funny thing about the Vans for me is that at some point, somebody cool will decide Vans aren't cool anymore and will wear a different one, and then those become in style.
True.
If I see Lertiger coming back, I know it's
I'm gonna go to
the
Cassie.
End of days.
Hey, Cassie, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Wonderful, Cassie. What's up?
Okay, so I'm naturally now realizing how different each generation is with VSCO. Like, the younger kids are wearing Birkenstocks, and then my generation, all they do is post that they're on the beach and that they're drinking and that they'll post their nudes on there.
Right, yeah.
What's your generation? How old are you?
I'm 21.
Okay.
So this VSCO thing seems to be falling... Cassie, within like the 8 to 14, 15?
Middle school. So probably, 8 to 13, so, something like that.
Yeah, so you're out of that range, Cassie, right? There's nobody practicing VSCO girls 20 and over, would you say?
Yeah.
Okay.
Although I got a text from somebody who says I'm 27 and I just found out I'm a VSCO girl.
it's like going and looking at your X-rays.
Yeah.
I have some bad news. You're a VSCO girl.
I'm a VSCO girl.
Yeah.
Oh, my
that's
God.
Awesome, Cassie. Though. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. All right. Well, here you go. I mean, this trends come and go, and this one is coming right now. So
yeah.
We'll see where it goes too.
So glad I learned something new.
Yay! And we taught you. How about that?
Well, maybe we need to have a VSCO day, like Hawaiian shirt day.
Yeah.
Right?
You love it?
Oh, my God.
I'll do it.
Or I see a theme for our party coming up here that I'm going to mention in a little while.
Oh, VSCO theme?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I got the Birkenstocks.
Interesting. Thank you for the calls. We appreciate it. Here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to give away a $25 gift card to J.D. McGillicutty's.
Yeah.
Take call number 9 at 215-263-WMMR. Listen up, Maniac. The 2019 Bud Light Platinum Thursday Night Huddle Series begins tomorrow night. 7 to 9 p.m., and that's at J.D. McGillicuddy's, which is on Cotton Street in Manioc. Marissa Magnata will be there. And from what I understand, you can enter to win tickets to the Eagles home opener on Sunday. So get set for that. We're going to take a break. We'll take caller number 9. We'll give you that gift card. And then when we return, Bizarre File and an event and announcement. Plus, we're going to go on Fox Good Day. Stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Wait, turn up the sound.
Now. 93.3
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
All right, we got about a minute before we're going live on Fox Good Day. So, how you guys doing?
Doing well.
No, actually, I can take a moment to tell you about the Daily Rush video that is now up and running. It is a new one. It is titled Lindsay Lohan Loves Dictators. And it says she doesn't kiss and tell, but she wants to hook up with Kim Jong-un. And you can watch it now at PrestonandSteve.com. And it's sponsored by Punchline Philly Comedy Club Restaurant and Bar. There was another one that I didn't mention from last week. Nitrous and Car Dipping Sauce Caddy. Preston ate other people's food. Casey sucked out the nitrous from whipped cream. And Steve invents a condiment car.
So we're innovators.
If
you're looking for something, if you're an inventor and you're looking for an idea or the seed of an idea to run with, really, the Daily Rush videos are just a wealth of information.
Actually, that's a good idea.
Welcome back. Let's talk to Preston and Steve now about a new study that we found. You won't be shocked by this, all of you. Mm. Philadelphia, out of 100 of the largest cities in America, we were considered one of the worst, almost the worst city for driving.
Oh, wow. Mm. Yeah. Yep. I'm not shocked by that. Now, here's my question, though. In order for any list like this to be valid, Washington, D.C. needs to be in the top five, I think, personally, in order for it to be valid.
You've
That's the worst
times.
Place I've ever had drive, I've ever experienced driving.
I don't think that's bad drivers.
Right. Is the delineation traffic or our drivers?
Good point.
To tell you the truth, it's more about our infrastructure, the potholes. It's just bad driving environment.
All right. So we do have a number of things. And I was talking about this with my wife, the incredible thing of the merge into the fast lane on thoroughfares throughout this area. That's horrible.
That's
we have the Schuylkill, which leaves you 76, which leaves you with no option for expansion or anything. So, there are a number of horrific street conditions. And, again, infrastructure, I can see that. But as far as our drivers, they're pretty bad, too.
Yeah,
they're pretty bad, too.
And I guess if it would depend on mainly driving in the city limits of Philadelphia, on the regular streets, not highways and so on, because I don't spend a ton of time there, yeah, it sucks.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of issues. Do you guys agree with this?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like Walnut Street, or name a street, like 3rd Street over here in Old City. It looks like the bomb went off.
Mike, when was the last time?
Even and cracked.
Yeah.
When was the last time you drove down Lombard Street on the way to the Schuylkill River?
When was the last time you drove?
That's probably a better question. But yes. My point is that Lombard is just atrocious. It's like a third world country at this point.
Banging around. So, what is the issue with that? We don't have money to.
Well, you know, it's bad when you're looking forward to hitting the cobblestone. Because that'll be a softer ride.
That'll be your smooth ride.
Yeah, yeah. But you know what it is? It's just an old city, and no one. The idea of expanding to the population that currently exists within the city and is it's great. People are coming, and people love Philadelphia. That's terrific. But it just can't handle it. And then how do you do repair on roads that are being used so extensively on a daily basis? It's a conundrum that I think Kathy's figured out. Kathy, tell us how we're going to do it.
Apparently, we all need to go to Raleigh.
Is that it? Really?
Yep, Raleigh, North Carolina.
And there's a downside, though.
Is Detroit is apparently worse than us. For
never driven in Detroit, so I don't know. But have them come drive around City Hall for a little while and see what they think.
Honestly,
about that.
Move City Hall.
Please.
Enough of this. Yeah. Move City Hall.
Where?
Well, like, you're in a hurry.
King of Prussia Mall.
King of Prussia, can you imagine?
Yes.
Well, Mike.
Lift it up.
Mike, the fact that you always have to navigate around City Hall. I love it. It's a regal, magnificent building. Mm-hmm. But enough of this nonsense.
Why don't we there's a hole under City Hall.
Just put the street
just
through it?
Just widen it and put the street right through it.
Lower it down.
Yeah. Or elevate the rest of the city above it.
Yes.
And here's today's complaining session.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're done.
All right. Thank you, guys. Yes. We'll see you later. No, honestly, when you do have to go around City Hall... Mm-hmm. You have to mentally plan which lane you're going to be in when you first start to go around the city hall, and then which one I'm going to end up in when I eventually want to get on the road that I want
to
be on.
You have to know.
Okay. You have to know.
Here are, it's to the right, to the middle, to the left,
to the middle, to the right.
To the right.
Yeah.
If you want to navigate effectively completely around City Hall.
Yeah, and if you have to go like three quarters of the way around forget it, man. It's a bitch.
The only reason you should ever go around City Hall is if you actually need to be around City Hall. Like, otherwise...
Avoid it.
Yeah. Just go, north, south, east, or west of it on, whatever, go to Vine Street or...
You could pick a street.
Samson or anything that's not in that square.
But there are sometimes it is the most direct route.
It is.
Going around it.
Yeah.
So, but whatever. All right. Here's what we're going to do. First of all, I'm going to give away another $25 gift card to J.D. McGillicuddy's.
Yeah.
I'll take call number 15 at 215-263-WMMR. You can join Marissa and the MM Army at J.D. McGillicuddy's tomorrow night, 7 to 9, and catch the big game. And enter to win Eagles tickets for the home opener this weekend, courtesy of Bud Light Platinum. So caller, did I say 10, I think? Yeah. No, 15. Caller 15. You get the gift card, 215-263-WMMR. While we're doing that, I'm going to get to the Bizarre File, and then we come back after that, and we have an announcement to make.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, let's see what I pulled aside for you today. We'll begin with this. A video showing a mouse scurrying on the counter of a Texas Whataburger before it makes a dive into the fryer has gone viral.
I watched this. I didn't know what I was watching, and I couldn't believe it.
It's disgusting to customers and viewers. Posted by Brashawn Lewis. The video now has around 2 million views.
Now, they say it was part of the announcement for What a Rat, the new business.
It shows a mouse running across the counter of the fast food joint southeast of Austin. You can hear the person who's filming it saying it. They captioned it. This is crazy. I'm at Whataburger in Bastrop, Texas. Lewis wrote the caption of the video saying the rodent was just out in the open. Now, the video shows the rodent moving on the counter between containers of food. And you can hear somebody in the background saying that's so nasty. And an employee announces that whoever paid for their food would get a refund as the rodent continues to dash around the counter. Now, one woman... who did not work at the restaurant, according to the man filming the video, goes behind the counter and begins to moving containers to try and catch it. As she moves a container, the mouse dives into the grease fryer.
Oh, man.
You can hear screams and gasps as the rodent jumps into its scalding fate. A man goes over to the grease fryer and attempts to scoop out the mouse with one of the frying tools before giving up. People in the restaurant were perplexed by how to handle the situation and get the mouse out of the grease fryer. And one man said, I don't know. I work at Domino's.
Well, thanks for the help, buddy.
Newsweek reported that the company released a statement that the restaurant has been shut down and cleaned after the incident.
But you can't just scoop it out and keep cooking?
I know. Maybe they could.
Yeah.
But they chose not to. All right. A vegan woman from Australia decided to sue her neighbors for barbecuing fish in their own backyard, saying that she thinks that they are doing it to irritate her.
God, I bet she's a great neighbor.
Scylla Carden. Yeah, she's a complainer.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
So Scylla Carden, a massage therapist from Perth, said this was just the latest in a long-running beef between her and her neighbors. She said...
Beef, get it?
They put the barbecue there, so I smell fish. All I can smell is fish. I can't enjoy my backyard. I can't go out there.
I'm sorry, it's me.
She filed a lawsuit claiming that neighbor Toan Vu, his wife and kids, breached residential laws. She said, it's deliberate. That's what I told the courts. It's deliberate. Adding that all she wants to do is, quote, live my life in peace. Now, in the suit, she alleges that in addition to the smell of fish irritating her, the smell of cigarette smoke from their garden annoys her as well. And she's also not too pleased about the sound of her neighbor's children playing in their yard.
Oh, knock it off.
I know.
Please move.
The legal drama has been going on for 2 years, by the way. Carden's case was thrown out, and she has since filed an appeal. That case was thrown out. But Carden's neighbors actually did end up removing his grill from the yard and banned his children from playing outside. But she still plans to continue her legal fight.
What a joy.
Exactly. A Korean restaurant based in Australia is being investigated after it served 86 shots to a table of just five people in the space of 6 hours.
They didn't go all the way up to 90?
Police allege that Haru Fusion Soju Lounge served the group 86 standard drinks of the spirit soju to a group of three men and two women who were celebrating a birthday. Soju is a clear spirit with a typical strength of around 20%, though it can be as strong as 50%. Two of the group, a man and a woman, were found passed out on the road and pavement outside of the restaurant. The woman had passed out in a pool of her own vomit, and a man collapsed on the road nearby who was moved to the pavement by road workers.
Good times.
Police arrived at around 1:35 a.m. The pair were subsequently taken to the hospital in an ambulance. Footage from the inside of the restaurant shows that one of the group collapsed onto the table after losing his balance.
Hey, who wants to go to Whatabouts?
A staff member can be seen walking past one of the group who was asleep at the table and passed out. A passed out woman is being carried out of the restaurant. The liquor authority has imposed a strike against the eatery as part of the government's three-strike disciplinary scheme. However, further action is also being considered, such as shortening its trading hours.
What's the cutoff level? 100? 100 shots per five people?
Yeah. So they, I mean, those people could have died.
That's crazy.
Oh, man, this is crazy. And there's a picture. Casey, you would hate to see this photo.
Okay.
A man reportedly shot himself through the head with a spear gun while scuba diving. Dude, it goes in through his cheek, behind his eyes, and out the other, and out his temple.
Wow.
Connie Hollowell from South Africa miraculously avoided being seriously injured in the accident despite the dart narrowly missing his brain and eyes.
Damn, perfectly fine.
He was picking up fishing sinkers when the accident happened. He was rushed back to the beach and received help from locals, with one Good Samaritan shortening the metal projectile with an angle grinder. Lifeguards also cared for the man before paramedics airlifted him to the hospital.
What is he, Deadpool?
He's currently on the mend in St. Anne's Hospital and is featured in a video thanking well-wishers for their support. In the video, Mr.
Howell... I'm just glad it worked out okay!
Mr. Hallowell said, "Hi, guys.
Hi!
Thanks for all the prayers. Really appreciate it."
It's good, man.
He said, "I'm doing very, very well. I'm good.
How does he retain his eyesight?
I'm recovering. Looking forward to seeing you guys soon. God bless and bye." Mr. Hallowell still
has... At least his glasses stay on now.
He still has vision in both eyes, despite the spear passing just behind his eyeballs.
Didn't you have a guy who was blinded by a champagne cork?
Yeah.
This guy gets a spear through his head.
Yeah. It's not the first time a freak accident involving a spear gun has taken place. In 2016, an angler was filmed with a dart impaled through his neck.
God. Yeah. Did you see the story about the circus? Circus archer?
Uh-oh.
So it's a balloon act. Well, it's an archery act. Man and wife, and she is there, and the balloons are around her, and with his bow and arrow and his level of precision, he shot her in the neck.
Ew. Yeah. How is she?
She's okay.
Okay.
I'm doing it!
All right, and there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you. All right, you guys ready for an announcement?
Yes!
I am. All right, so we have an event. I'm going to give you the date first, and I'll tell you what it's all about. It is going to be Thursday, September 19th. That's not too far off, gang.
No.
Nary 15 days from today, so just a couple of weeks away. And this will be at Harrah's, Philadelphia. It is part three, the third time we've done this event. It's a Preston and Steve sorority party. Kathy's Bitch Box Bash. Yes, once again, Kathy's Bitch Box is ready to be served up and given to Sisters of Pie. And we're going to give you the details. It is an invite-only event. Kathy has procured all these wonderful items in her bitch box.
A lot more work this time,
Preston. To give to you for free. A lot more work this
time. Yeah, because of our aggressive spam system.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Each invited winner and their guests will receive a Kathy's Bitch Box filled with some of her favorite products. It is ladies only, and it is invite only. You'll have to be at least 21 years of age.
This is so popular. And what happens is, Preston, people come and they get their bitch box. A lot of people ask them, listen, the only way to get it is to get invited.
Yeah,
because
it's
that's
true.
It's for the. But there's more. You know, this is a series of bitch boxes. So don't despair if you don't get in on this. But it's the only way to get them.
And every single one of them goes every year. I have one box from each year, just to, you know, keep it. And the contents, even for a minute, people are like, can I just take, I don't need the actual box. I'll take what's inside. Like people around the office who want one, they go every year, each one of them goes.
People love this, So it's Kathy's Bitch Box. Where my bitches at?
What?
Where my hoes at?
What?
Where my bitches take a stack?
You know where we at.
So, by the way, this I want to remind people that this whole thing came from the Birch Box. That we heard about years ago, and we're like, well, we got to do a bitch box for sure. So.
Steve said it, and we went from there. So we're going to do a fashion show again this year. And Renee James Boutique in Havertown, they're going to put on a fashion show for us. They're also contributing to the box. And I'm just going to go over some of the other people that are involved with this. Hey Honey comes back every year. They're one of my favorite, all, you know, face lotion, scrubs, things like that. Absolutely love them. They're actually offering a 20% off their entire site until October 30th.
Wow.
For anybody who uses the code BITCHBOX. Elsie is coming back again. She's got some accessories that are going in the box. Yummy Bites, Marinella Jewelry, Claffey's Frozen Cocktails, Wim Jewelry, The Salt Cave at Doylestown and Newtown. They're contributing something special. Floral and Hardy, guys.
No. They're
putting some garden goodies in the bitch box. Curry Hair, Skin and Nails, Carney's Cookies, and Stateside Vodka. Those are the sponsors of Kathy's Bitch Box.
Stateside is awesome. It. They always contribute to my wife's charity. They always are. They're very, very cool people.
And they're actually, well, you'll find out later, but they're actually giving us something a little more, something special.
Wow.
Yeah.
And by the way, everybody has to dress as a VSCO girl. For this event.
Should we do VSCO themed?
That'd be fun.
Us included, right?
Yeah.
Well,
we'll
be Crisco guys.
Yeah. All right. So here's what I'd like to do. I would like to invite five ladies to be on board for this right now. 215-263-WMMR. And we'll sprinkle these giveaways throughout the next couple of weeks here and there. Your chance to get on board. So just listen up for the opportunity to call in. And be invited on the guest list. You have to be 21 or older, and you can bring a guest, ladies only, whether you're a member of the sorority or not, be a part of this because we will indoctrinate you into our wonderful little organization.
We love the sorority events to begin with, but the bitch box ones are really in high demand. So it's going to be a great night.
And it's from Harris, Philadelphia, a total gaming and entertainment experience all in one place, Harris, Philadelphia, where Philly comes out to play and your first drink is free. We'll have a happy hour buffet and all that good stuff. So once again, the date is Thursday, September 9th, 6 to 8 p.m. Let's get you on board. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. More of the A to Z coming up in a second.
Love Preston and Steve and WMMR? Check out WMMR.com for more of everything that rocks.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
By the way, with the A to Z, I would like to thank our sponsor, Exton Nissan. You can shop ExtonNissan.com and make sure if you're going to mention anything social media-wise about the Back to School A to Z, we're using the hashtag MMRA2Z. So feel free to share any cool little moments you had. Nick, I saw you post something. I think it was Here I Go Again from Whitesnake.
It was the first song I heard when I got in the car yesterday morning. And sometimes when you hear a song like that that you've heard many times, it strikes you as cheesy or whatever. Yeah. To start my work week off with that song by Whitesnake, I cranked it up. It totally pumped me up. It was the perfect song to start the work
week. I was surprised.
Yeah?
I didn't think that was your jam.
I don't know. I mean, I guess that's one of the great things about the MMRA to Z is that sometimes you'll hear a song that you've heard a million times or you haven't heard in forever, and it hits you the right way at the right time.
In the context.
That's what that song did for me yesterday morning.
By the way, I do love those commercials that feature that song where the guy's riding a motorcycle he's singing the words, and then it cuts to him in real life.
Yeah, like a daycare.
Here I go again. I'm singing off key and everything.
Yeah.
I love it. It's well done. So enjoy the Back to School A to Z. Steve sent me a video that is of Kanye West eating his own earwax.
No.
Like, well, that's what it purports to be.
It kind of looks
and
like
it's,
it.
Preston, it's now achieved like Zapruder film status. Yeah. What are we seeing here?
Ugh. I don't think that he's doing that. I don't see him digging down into his ear canal and pulling out wax and sucking on his finger or anything like that. He kind of, it looks like he's kind of scratching at his earlobe, and then he reaches around and kind of picks at his lip. I don't think he, I just think it was a moment where he's just doing a little, you know, a little trimming up or something like that. But
I think he's got a good half a pound of earwax.
Yeah,
you think he's... like an apple.
Yeah.
No, no, it's, but people freaked.
Ew, what the hell?
You ever had earwax in, end up in your mouth by accident?
Yes,
you
it's like disgusting.
Scratching your ear and you just forgot that you scratched your ear and then...
For some reason or another, your fingers end up in your mouth.
It's gross.
It's nasty.
Of the list of things that can accidentally end up in your mouth that your body generates, that's more benign.
Yeah, what but it tastes bad. It tastes really bad. Like, there's a bitterness to it.
That's
that,
it.
You know, that throws you off. And it's jarring. And yes, there are other things that can end up in your mouth that are worse.
Yeah.
Well, if you're going, if it's something that sort of offsets it and provides a nice pairing, seminal fluid.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Dude.
Wow. Bill's off.
But not yours.
What, now,
somebody, I would rather it be mine.
Somebody posed me this question, and it was in the whole, you know, would you rather
you
know, time period when people were asking, you know, would you rather do this or that? And it was one that I wrestled with for a while. My friend Will said, would you rather...
Well, these are valid questions.
...eat a tablespoon of someone else's boogers...
Okay.
...or a teaspoon of their poop? That's a tough one, is it not?
I'm a little bit more decisive on this than I would have originally thought.
You're going to go poop.
You're going poop.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Steve, I figured we'd go poop.
I'd probably go poop.
The tablespoon versus teaspoon thing, conundrum.
That certainly, the portion definitely helps.
Yeah. But then there's other bodily fluids. I didn't even think about the seminal thing. And they're, you know, I mean, would you, you know, there's not, blood, there's semen, there's phlegm, there's boogers, there's earwax.
Your legend contains an admission of scab eating.
Sure.
Periodically.
Sure.
I mean, you know.
I dabble.
isn't it that you're kind of putting that back in the system? This is, in other words,
hey, you go to church every Sunday and eat Jesus. Come
right,
on, man.
That's, in a way,
not the same thing. Let's just cleanse the palate real quick. Would you rather eat 1 graham cracker or 2 Oreo cookies? Just to cleanse the palate, because I'm like,
you've got to get past that.
Oh my God,
mm-hmm.
It's like those things. Would you sliding down a razor?
Oh man,
no, come
God.
On. What?
By the way, hang on a second.
They used to ask you this if you were trying to get a job in the Pentagon.
This will cleanse the palate, Casey. Okay. I literally saw this morning, and it was photos, so I didn't really print up the story. Usually, I'll print up the story and highlight the parts that I think are necessary to whatever might be we bring up on the air. But apparently, speaking of communion wafers,
oh boy,
I mentioned that there were 3 shots of different churches that had this on their marquee out front: pumpkin spice. Communion.
Communion? Are you kidding me?
I kid you not. It looked legitimate to me. 3 different spots.
That's sacrilege.
No.
Pumpkin spice. Now, they may not be Catholic. Catholic churches are very, very, very strict on... I mean, like, I know they wouldn't even use ones that were without wheat for some people that had gluten allergies.
And some people actually... some faiths will have actually just, like, bread, right? Isn't that...
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I've been in churches where they just give you.
We're bread. Looking at a box here.
This is a Photoshop, man. There's no way.
No, that's legit.
No.
Look to that. Move the screen over. You see the. There it is.
Yeah.
Now, what does it say? Pumpkin
serving.
Pumpkin spice communion.
It's got to be a joke.
You know, though, if you get some people in there, and you can just say, "Well, we ran out."
Well, I mean, listen.
If it's Catholic or not, I mean, honestly.
Because of dietary restrictions and gluten allergies and stuff like that, they have had different types of bread that they use for communion. I know that they had like, you know, regular bread and then like whole wheat stuff. And
yeah, I forget where I was where I received communion, and it was basically like bread.
Wouldn't it be great?
Yeah.
If you had your choice, like they bring out a tray.
Pumpernickel.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a nice rye.
Mm, do you have any lavash that I could try?
None.
I'll have one of those ciabatta rolls. That's ciabatta, sir.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, I thought that was, I never heard of that. But anyhow.
Eating earwax.
Is he...
totally eats it, by the way.
You think so?
Yes. No doubt.
You're looking at the video. You think it's him?
He opens his mouth, man. And he's not just picking at his lip.
Now, you've been known to root around a little bit.
I have never eaten anything on purpose.
Okay.
Like that. I've never eaten a booger.
Have you ever caught someone doing it? You know, people zone in a car. I've seen it. I've seen a dude do it.
Sure.
Yep.
And it's hard, not ear,
but listen,
nose.
He's standing there
amongst
a crowd of people applauding, clapping, and all that stuff. I'd think that he would be aware of whether or not he was consciously eating his own earwax in front of all those people. Now,
wow.
I think that it's just his hands are moving and it kind of looks like he did that. But then again, on the other side, is he so arrogant that he feels so famous,
right,
that he can publicly eat his own earwax and it doesn't even matter?
I don't think that's what he's doing.
Yes.
Casey says yes.
Casey has now made a case as I watch this this video. It looks like he's eating something he pulled from his ear. Maybe that's where he keeps his Pez.
Yeah. Maybe he was, picking a Pez out of his ear.
Nom, 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 nom. It's so good.
By the way, somebody says, if there can be miracle spring water, there can be pumpkin spice whales.
Right.
Right on.
Come on.
I still think of that video of Ted Cruz eating his booger, not on purpose.
Oh, my God.
That one.
All right, that brings me, I can watch people, in horror movies, gut it up and down, no problem.
Don't play the video.
Don't play the video.
I don't want to see it.
We don't want to see it.
It's like it's alive, right?
It really is. It's like a stop motion thing. You ever seen the movie Night of the Creeps? The little, worm creatures that are...
No.
Yeah, that's the same thing that happens with Ted Cruz and his little face loogie.
Nasty.
It's disgusting. That to me is the absolute... That is the most of the snot. So, to your question about whether you would eat poop or snot, that made the decision very easy.
So, you would eat the poop?
Yeah. At the human discharge buffet, I'm going over to the poop corral.
We really do create a lot of different materials as a body.
We really do.
What all do we sweat?
We're like a food truck.
Sweat, urine, blood, earwax, boogers.
Phlegm.
Zits.
Downtown stuff.
Yeah.
Downtown stuff.
Oh, seminal fluid?
Seminal fluid, yeah. Yeah.
Baby batter.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Poo.
Schmagma.
Poo.
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 I hate the word poo.
My God, yeah.
Poo. Poop with a P on the end of it.
Poo. Did you have to poo? Or Beverly Goldberg, you have to make.
What is that from?
You have to make. That's what she says.
Who?
Beverly Goldberg. I said the name at the beginning.
From the Goldbergs. I didn't know what you said. Yeah. Yes, I missed from it. That's why I was asking. Yeah.
So Beverly Goldberg from the Goldbergs is a character that does this.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
She does that.
I have to make.
I have to make.
Yeah. And Mrs. Kostanowicz, very similar, used to go, a neighbor of mine, I have to make. And she'd do the fingers into the opening.
Like that was a toilet?
Like it was a toilet bowl. Yeah, yeah.
What's, so when you have to urinate, do you pee or piss or pity pat?
Pee is the easy way to say it, I think.
So pee is acceptable, but poo less so.
Yeah, personally.
Okay. Right. Yeah, because pee
tinkle is on a par with poo.
You say tinkle.
What's that?
You say tinkle.
I will say tinkle.
Yeah.
Make water.
I'm still in mom mode of having a potty training child. By the way, he's 8, not potty training, and I'm like, do you have to go pee-pee? And he's like, even Jace looks at me like, you don't have
pee-pee,
to say
mom,
pee-pee anymore.
Please. Yeah.
I gotta take a piss.
What'd you say?
Vomit. We totally forgot about vomit.
Bile. Yeah. Bile. All kinds of good stuff.
Oh,
didn't even think of that. All right, I'm going to move on.
Well, at least we know what Kanye's eating.
I'm going to move on for Casey's sake.
Yay!
I saw this and I thought this was interesting. Binge watching on Netflix is coming to an end. Some of their original shows.
Like my life.
Binge watching?
On Netflix. If I find a Netflix show, I'll power through it in 2 days.
Okay. I want things to last a little bit.
I do too, but I get so into it that I can't let it last.
So they announced that they're going to start releasing new episodes of their original shows on a weekly basis.
Is this like Handmaids on Hulu? Because Hulu will do three episodes to start.
Yes.
And then one per week.
They had started doing that similarly when Netflix first started with some of their series.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they progressed to a full series dump, getting back to bodily functions. and I don't know. It depends on how you parse it out. Me, like with the Boys, I powered through The Boys in just a couple of days, about 4 or 5 days.
We were just talking about it. That show is incredible. On Hulu.
Freaking love it.
It's fantastic.
Prime, Amazon Prime.
I'm sorry, you're right. Yep, Prime.
I'm okay with this because it'll pace me. I don't sit down because I have the time to do it. I just get so addicted to the show.
I know.
That I want to see it. So this would pace me through it. I'd be okay with that.
Kathy, they build in that function. We've talked about it. I think Prime's turnaround is 5 seconds before you're going into the next episode. And the skip intro.
Skip intro.
Option.
Yeah,
boom.
Yeah, when the episode's over, you can click watch next episode.
I sent you an article today about the level of impatience.
Yeah, and
you'll take a look at it. It addresses that.
Kathy, but in fact, I've got it right here.
Yeah.
We just started, my wife and I, we usually don't binge watch, but we started watching Mindhunter. And literally, after watching two episodes, we'd be like, I want to watch one more.
Yeah.
Just go ahead and dive right into it. Let's do it.
My cousin and I were watching, oh my gosh, why can't I think of the name of it? Anyway, it was on
The Jonas Brothers, the reality show.
No. It was on Netflix, and we got so into it. And one night I was up until like 11 o'clock at night on, you know, a work night. She goes, I think this is the latest you've ever stayed awake during, you know, when you had to go to work. And it was because we were watching so many shows.
Yeah.
So the Disney Plus thing's coming out in a month or two, right?
And yes, it is.
Is this Netflix sort of anticipating that? This decision by Netflix?
Good question. You know what? I don't know what their real motivation is behind this, but, you know, it's like when we had David Harbour in here, and we're like, dude, a year and a half before you put out that third season, he's like, well, what you need to do is watch them once a month, and then it won't be such a bad thing. But maybe they're starting to see people's desire to get these new seasons up and running and complaining about the length of time it takes in between seasons. Maybe this takes a little out of it.
This may be a case of trying to put, you know, the genie back in the bottle here because so many people now have gotten into that. Listen, when the first season of Daredevil and a lot of the Marvel shows, I binged in one weekend, 13 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
You just plowed right through them. Also, on a per-episode basis for these shows, they're commercial-free. So you're getting 55, 60 minutes of straight show as opposed to a commercial hour, which is about 44 minutes.
I think I read that the Star Wars live-action series, the Mandalorian that's coming out.
Which looks really good.
It looks neat, yeah. But I believe on Disney Plus, they're going to space it out. So I don't think you'll be able to binge it like you can on Netflix. But I've been rewatching The Sopranos. It's on Amazon Prime. And they had season 5 of The Sopranos came out in 2004. Season 6 didn't come out for 2 years later. And
really?
The way that we digest television now in less than a decade or in about a decade has changed so much.
Here's also the mindset. When you do space them out and you do have that sort of that disabled function of being able to jump past the intro, they can also take that time to advertise shows to you watching that show because you can't just rely on people going, I'm just going to peruse around Netflix and see what catches my eye or Hulu or Amazon Prime. So if you're watching a show like The Boys and they know that, okay, you're they can tell that you've gone to The Boys a few times. Mm-hmm. They can target you with similar shows where you just might bypass that and just go right. Like there's so many features now that just allow you to go right to the show and bypass any of the advertisements.
Hey, Nick, with that Sopranos thing, was it 2 years from the first episode or 2 years from the last episode? Not that it matters. We're only talking about a matter of weeks.
I don't remember exactly the case, but the season 6 was spaced out over two years. It was 2006 and 2007, but it was really jarring to watch it that way because you forgot plot lines. And now I'm watching them back to back and I'll watch, you know, two or three in a night.
So they're going to start doing weekly, releasing these on a weekly basis. They'll start the new release model with the Great British Baking Show Collection 7.
What? How do you? But what? How are you going to know how the cookies come out?
And Rhythm and Flow, which is the rap competition hosted by Cardi B, Chance the Rapper, and T.I.
God damn it! That's a binge show, Preston.
But that's where they're going to start, which means that they will probably do it with other shows.
No one cares about those. Aren't the kind of shows though where you're looking for a plot line to advance.
Yeah, but I mean,
even though it's a contest building to an end.
Yeah, so
is it really like a scripted show where you're trying to find out?
No, but you kind of like get caught up in that sort of stuff, and to be able to watch an entire competition in just a couple of days. I did it with that glass blowing show. I watched it the
blow
first
me,
episode.
Right? That's the
blow me. No, what is it called?
Blow this.
Yeah, you're right. No, it's blown away.
Oh, but I'm sorry. That's probably more appropriate.
But I ended up watching the full season in a matter of like 2 to 3 days, and it was. And the other part of it is, you know, there are no commercials. So, like, you're watching, a full episode in less than an hour, and then you just kind of want to see the resolution of it all.
Yeah, I don't always need necessarily a plot to get stuck in a marathon because sometimes, like, how it's made will be on.
Uh-huh.
And I'll watch it for 3 hours, you know, just sitting there watching them make thumbtacks.
It's so stupid. Like, that's... Over the past couple of nights, I've been watching back-to-back episodes of an old show with Tracy Morgan called Scare Tactics.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah, and I'll watch 4 of them in a row, and it's just stupid, but you get sucked in.
All right.
Right?
Last night, Steve, I was watching a show about a dog in Brooklyn called It's Bruno, and it's this dude walks his dog. Every episode that I've watched thus far, 3 or 4 episodes, ends with somebody getting beaten with a stick.
And really?
Yeah. It's a comedy. Donnell Rawlings or Donald Rawlings?
Yeah, yeah.
He's in it. I don't think you'd really recognize anybody else, but I was cracking up. But I, you know, this is what ends up on my feed in Netflix.
All right. So the first 4 episodes of Rhythm and Flow will drop October 9th in seasons 5 through 7 on October 16th. So it sounds like they're doing them in 2 chunks. The season will wrap with episodes or 3 chunks, 8 through 10 on October 23rd. So maybe that might be a way to do
so
it.
So they're going
to
do some of the shows, but I'd be curious to see what their plans are for the next season of Stranger Things.
Well, yeah, they're going to start with this, I think, and it may lead to other original programming doing that.
Do you think that they would ever hit a model where they are basically mimicking a broadcast schedule where different so you can because right now you could binge shows that are
do you mean that they're on at a certain time?
Yes.
No, I don't see that happening. That's the whole point of streaming, to be
right,
able to watch
right.
it when you want to watch it.
Maybe like a competition type of show, like almost like that HQ app,
right?
You know, maybe something like that. Okay. I don't know, but I was wondering if this, you know, because people are cord cutting and all of that, like if it's going to be something that ends up being cyclical again, where because people are cutting their cord, but now there are more apps, right? So, sure, you can cut your cord and maybe save a couple of bucks, but now all these apps are going to end up costing you money again.
It goes right back.
And you're going to end up spending just as much on these apps on your smart TV or whatever, and it's just going to cost you the same amount as cable.
They did a cost analysis that says that. It's basic. Yeah. So for the things, if you're somebody who actively watches a lot of TV or watches a lot of shows and you have your shows that you pick, you can be up back to your regular bill in no time.
Yes.
I do like the idea, though, of the weekly thing, because when Handmaid's Tale, when the episodes are coming out, Rochelle and I are like, dude, Wednesday night?
Right, yeah.
It's a new one, all right.
So we
get kind of we make an appointment.
I do. I used to love that. I mean, I like with Lost and with shows that you really liked, and you'd make the effort to make it a communal thing so that you could share that. But because right now you're rendered, it's virtually impossible. The days of talking about shows the way we used to, especially anything that people are watching to advance the plot line, you can't do it.
But to have a appointment television is neat. It's quaint. And when you can get the whole family involved, like I love hearing about, you know, like a mom and a dad and their kids sitting down and watching. Oh, we love watching Big Brother together or, you know, whatever it is. But because there is so much out there, especially with, you know, apps and all this sort of stuff that, you know, people, you know, are watching on their, you know, you got kids in their bedrooms watching on the iPad and you in the TV room and somebody else in the bedroom. Yeah.
Speaking of all that, as Steve had said, there is a survey of 2,000 people that was done and it's found that patience is an extremely rare quality because of technology.
Yeah.
They found that 3/4 of people believe the dominance of digital technology is the cause of the growing lack of patience. Respondents reported becoming frustrated after 16 seconds of waiting for a web page to load, and after 25 seconds of waiting for a traffic light to change. Respondents also reported losing their temper after 20 seconds of waiting for ink to dry on a greeting card, 22 seconds to start curing their computers or TVs if a show or movie doesn't start streaming correctly. They also reported getting angry after 18 seconds of searching for a pen. And the survey also found 38% of respondents had lost their patience while trying to take notes and keep up with a speaker during class or work meetings.
Hey, well, listen, I get impatient at some of that stuff as well. It's we were talking about this the other day when you go to a website and it's so bombarded with ads that you can't get your stinking page to load.
I told you that one of the biggest examples I had, and I noticed it while I was doing it. I'm sitting there, turn on a video game to play on PS4. Yeah. It's loading. I'm waiting for it to load up. And while it was loading, I took out my phone and started playing a crossword puzzle because I couldn't wait. I needed to be entertained for the minute.
There was
however long it took for the game to load up. And I'm like, what are you doing?
I was watching. There was an interview with a psychologist who was saying that it is important for people to get accustomed to and deal with boredom, being bored, not doing anything.
Agreed. Mm-hmm.
And that's an attribute, or that's a skill at this point that people are losing, and the need to be immediately engaged is causing these levels of frustration.
Well, I spent a lot of time on the beach this summer and a lot of time on my phone on the beach this summer. And I was thinking about it on Monday when I was just sitting there. I'm like, what did I used to do on the beach before I had the phone here?
A lot of digging.
Well, you probably just observed.
Yeah.
You probably just people watched, looked at the ocean, enjoyed that, what I mean? And just took it, or read a book.
I never read a book, Kevin.
I wonder where the doom pool is going at night.
I need to leave my phone at home, Casey, in order to do that, because it's just a default. I'll go to it too easily, too often. With all that said, do you think you guys are still going to get Disney Plus?
Yes.
I probably will, too.
I resisted getting the CBS app, and I got it anyway now because they got the Picard series on.
How much is it going to be, by the way?
Each app is about $1,000 each. Oh. So, no, $9 a month, $10 a month.
Hey, Joe wants to point something out that we're totally missing. Hey, Joe, you're on the air.
Hey, Gadzooks.
Hey, Gadzooks, what's up, buddy?
So I'm pretty sure that they're not going to take it off the air, off of Netflix after they present it. So the people who want to binge watch will still be able to binge watch after all the episodes are aired.
Right.
Yeah, you just got to be patient and wait for that.
Which is honestly, Joe, what I like with Apple TV or whatever, I'll wait for a series to wrap up and then I'll just watch it that way. So you're right. The option to binge will be there. You just won't be one of those immediate, I watched it all. I beat everyone to the punch.
Yeah, everybody gets, both sides get to do what they want.
Technically. Yeah, well, listen, there's too much. There's too much good stuff out there.
I'm going to go to Matt next. Matt, good morning.
What's up, bitches?
Yo, bud. What's going on?
Hey, so I think one of the great things, I've been against the whole kind of dumping every episode at once on Netflix, because I think one of the great things about watching every week is everything that comes with it, like the anticipation, speculating with your coworkers, your family after the episode, and responding as the episodes are happening.
Yeah.
Those kinds of things.
Yeah, no, that was always, I remember years and years and years and years ago, there was an episode of The Twilight Zone. It was horror at 37,000 feet. It was the original one with William Shatner was playing. CBS had run like a bunch of classic Twilight Zone episodes. It was a summer night. The windows were open. And when there was the scene where he pulls back the curtain on the plane and the gremlin is outside on the wing looking in, and you could hear screaming around the neighborhood from people who are watching the same show at the same time. It was a cool communal thing, you know? That's why people go to the theater, obviously, still to be a part of that.
I will go to Kate. Hi, Kate. Good morning.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. What's up, Kate?
So a friend of mine who's a local guy is an assistant director. He makes movies, basically. And their answer to Netflix in the theatrical world is a release of an R.L. Stine trilogy next summer. And they're going to release them as movie 1, June, movie 2, July, movie 3, August.
Ah,
so, all of our impatient binge watchers can get in there.
So you think, like, for example, for the next season of Stranger Things, if they were to release it as a trilogy, so the first movie is 2.5 hours long, the second movie is 2.5, you're basically releasing them as movies. And
no, they're releasing them in, they're actually releasing them in the movie theaters.
I thought you were talking about the way
of getting people to come back to the movies again. Okay. So they're hoping that that will draw people to be like, yeah, Netflix. And he's made movies on Netflix too, but he's like, you know, this
I got you.
We get people back out to the theaters because everyone wants to just binge watch Netflix.
I think Smell-O-Vision is the way to go.
Ooh. That's the next big thing. No, Kate, I like that idea. I think that's if it, you know, if it catches, I mean, if people like it enough to where I need to see the second one, you know, I mean, but yeah, that's not a bad idea.
You know, years ago, so CNN is doing this series on the movies, and they have Preston. There was a scene, a couple of Hollywood actors when television came out, and you saw people like Henry Fonda going, you know, you can sit there and watch it at home, but there's nothing like sitting in a theater, you know.
Yeah.
And everyone trying old to dissuade bitch. People. Yeah, for your old bitch, crazy old bitch. See, you're going to kill yourself if you keep pouring water on the TV. But the whole point of it was that that was the big threat. And then TV and then the movies, you know, countered with 3D and all that stuff. So it's an ongoing battle.
All right. So here, Nick found the information on the Disney Plus. It confirmed that it will roll out a bundle of Disney Plus, Hulu's basic on-demand tier, and ESPN Plus for $12.99 a month.
Oh wait, so Hulu is...
I don't want ESPN Plus.
It's a triple. That's the it's their gold pack. You don't have to get it in with the bundle, right, Nick? You can get just straight ahead Plus.
Yeah,
the Disney Plus, the Disney.
That's right.
Yeah.
So what else is going to be on Disney Plus?
And a lot of porn.
Everything from Star Wars.
Let me tell you about white chicks.
Everything from Marvel. Everything from Star Wars. Everything from Pixar. Disney? Everything from Disney. And everything from Disney Animation. And live action series like The Mandalorian, the Captain America spinoff with Sebastian Stan and Anthony Mackie.
Yes.
So it's going to have a lot to offer.
Peter North's Great American Wank-Off.
Dude, Jesus. Oh, my God.
I'll just stop.
Is that a distance contest?
That is a distance contest.
Because there's a volume contest. Yeah. Who would that be?
He wins both of them.
Okay.
The Great American Wank-Off.
Oh, it's a British show. I didn't even know.
British host.
Yeah,
I am Peter North.
Yeah. But an American show.
Oh, sure. Right. It's where we had Simon Cowell on our American Idol.
Exactly. Right.
It's the same thing.
Yes.
American talent.
I can't believe what I'm watching.
Peter North's Great American Wank-Off.
Yeah, Disney Plus.
I forgot what I was going to ask.
Wow.
Wait, what did you say about Sebastian Stan and Anthony Mackie?
There's a spinoff from Captain America that it features those two guys.
And it's going to be, it's shows?
It's a live action series like The Mandalorian is from the Star Wars universe.
Crying out, now I got to get this.
And that's
why he does cry.
That's not just that. It's Loki, too.
Yeah, Loki's got... I mean, that's where these things sucker you in. It's because, you know what? I already own, Wreck-It Ralph on DVD. I don't need to get Disney Plus. Except that now there are these things that are coming in that are live-action series that that rival the movies. You know, that's the Falcon and the Winter Soldier will be in the Captain America universe, and it'll have the production value
of the movies.
Well, Captain America.
And if it's got those guys in it, I have no choice.
Exactly.
But to get that because I am a Marvel fan.
And Loki.
Wow.
Has the original, has
Tom Hiddleston,
and everybody is, it's all part of the deal.
All right, but
it's
if you're
Marvel
getting,
behind it.
Yeah, if you're getting Hulu as well, then okay.
Okay.
Well, how much does Hulu cost? How much are you spending on Hulu?
Remember.
But there's a riff, Casey, on this that it's not just Loki, it's Fuller Loki, where he moves into the house with the family from Fuller.
In San Francisco?
Yeah.
Is that where that is?
Yeah, San Francisco.
Yep.
I never watched Fuller.
Yeah.
Or Full House.
Either of the houses.
I did watch Fuller House, and yes, that was, like I said, that should be called the Three Mills.
Yes, it's true. Mm-hmm. And Loki. Yeah. The low-key party. Wow. We still have to do that, by the way.
The low-key party. Dear God. All right, well, anyhow, when is this available?
November.
Okay. Yeah.
There's going to be a huge rollout.
I'm a sucker. I'll get that because I want to see this. I want to see that Winter Soldier, Falcon and Winter Soldier thing.
And that's not just there's also a Scarlet Witch series.
Yeah, WandaVision. Is that what that is?
Yeah, WandaVision. It's like television.
WandaVision?
Yeah. No, Vision's going to be in it, and Wanda, and yeah, Maximoff.
Oh, and that's what they call it, WandaVision?
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's like WonkaVision.
Yeah. It is like WonkaVision.
Yeah.
It's like WonkaVision.
Yeah.
Except there are superheroes in it.
There are so many things to be excited about over the next quarter of the year.
The Great American Wank-Off.
Yeah.
Oh, this is going to be incredibly promising.
Totally
but that British out. Host, I got to see that. And expect that to take place.
Did you? I saw that you, you're at the last second, you bent your hand, and I think that cost you.
Technique was off.
Oh, wait, they're judging technique?
Oh, yeah, the whole thing, yeah.
I thought this was going to be totally objective.
It's not just taste.
All right, well, anyhow, we have become very impatient, and we desire these binges, and we want them now.
Now!
Apparently is the case, so that's what these studies have shown. We need to take a break. Now, I want to set some people up because we have a movie screening. It's tonight.
Oh, boy.
And this is It, Chapter 2. Wow, I have a lot to give away here.
You know, I think it's 2 hours and 40 minutes.
Really?
Yeah, because they're spending a lot of time with this second chapter.
Let's do 8 callers because 10 would be desperate. No, Bill's out of town.
He's out of town.
10 callers. Woo! 10 callers at 215-263.
Bill's on vacation. His phone rings.
10!
They just did 10.
What the hell?
215-263-WMMR. This is going to be at the UA Riverview. All right,
yeah.
So 7 o'clock is when that takes place. You need to be there by 6:30. So tonight, if you would like to see It Chapter 2, we will take care of you. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back in just a moment. A little bit more from the A to Z. I'll reiterate the information we have on Kathy's Bitch Box. We made the announcement. Another party coming up. It'll be on the 19th. But we'll return shortly, so make sure you stay with us.
93.3 WMMR proudly supports the inaugural Market Street Run for Blue, presented by Wawa, Sunday, October 27th. The event benefits the Philadelphia Police Foundation with a run through historic Old City to 30th Street Station and back for a post-run festival at Penn's Landing featuring food and beverages courtesy of Wawa, awards for top finishers in multiple age groups, and fun for the whole family. Click events at WMMR.com for all the details and to get signed up. Sunday, October 27th. It's the Market Street Run for Blue, presented by Wawa. 93.3 WMMR is putting Philly first.
I am Iron Man!
Hey, we have a secret text word today. It's your chance to win tickets to Game of Thrones live concert experience at The Man coming up on September 12th. So text word secret to 39333. Also want to mention we made an announcement earlier this morning. We're doing another sorority party, and it's another Kathy's Bitch Box. It's part 3 that's taking place.
Wow.
It's invitation only. We will tell you when to call in to get on board. I'm not going to do it right now, but before the show's up, hopefully I'll have another chance to get some more ladies on board. 21 and over event. It is going to be on the 19th at Harrah's Philadelphia.
It's a great turnaround.
And, Kathy's got a quality box ready to go. Kathy's box is quality.
Yeah, that's right.
Nah.
Sure is.
And we'll only reveal what's in it that night. You've been mentioning the sponsors and the people who are on board, but the actual items will be revealed and described and given to you.
And a fashion show.
That night and a fashion show.
And I will say that the box is much different than last year.
Okay. Listen.
Love it.
Keep them guessing.
Yeah. Interesting article that you sent to me the other day, Steve, concerning, you know, we just played Iron Man, Black Sabbath, classic, one of the original metal songs, you know, to kind of kick off that whole thing. And I was, you know, and Ozzy's a legend. He absolutely is, as is Tony Iommi and, you know, Geezer and everybody in the band. But this is pretty, this is a pretty stark reality. And essentially this line says it all. It says just about every rock legend that you can think of is going to die within the next decade or so.
Makes me sad.
Wow.
It is.
I mean, they're up there.
Yeah.
But it is a slap in the face. Written in that sort of stark language, it's like, whoa.
Well, Pierre was talking yesterday about, you know, seeing the Stones in Miami over the weekend, and I was wondering, might that be the last time the Stones are ever on stage together?
Nick, to that point, look, so, you know, Mick had his heart issue.
Right. Not that they're not healthy. And,
no,
you know, they're viable. They're a great act. They're great live. They continue to be, you know, terrific. But that's not the point. The point is that they're in their upper 70s.
Well, and another sad point of this, too, is listen, rock music is still, there's still artists and we're still playing current music from the world of rock. But when I look at this list of people who are up there in age, I'm like, there's nobody, there's not many that match.
That step in.
The level of talent, the amount of people that were creating great rock music in the day. I mean, you do have your Dave Grohl's that are still breaking out and having massive success and everything.
Right.
And there's, I'm sure, a whole list of them that I could think of. But, I mean, there's it. There's not a lot of John Lennon's. You know, obviously he's gone. And so let me give you just a rundown. Some of the icons that were that went way too young were Brian Jones, Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, Jim Morrison, Elvis Presley, John Lennon. Okay, so they're some of the biggies that went way too early. And then you had people who went that got older but didn't live to the twilight of their life. George Harrison, Ray Charles, Michael Jackson, Lou Reed, David Bowie, Glenn Frey.
David Bowie still blows my mind.
Prince, Leonard Cohen, Tom Petty. But we're now getting to the age to these guys and ladies are getting to the age where, like, we're running out of big rock stars. Well, if they're gone.
Preston, when your average rocker that you're that's on this list now, when their writer includes Blue Emu, it's a little troubling.
It don't stink.
It doesn't stink. Oh, look at this. It doesn't stink.
So let me give you an example of some people that are up there in age, and it's pretty staggering. Bob Dylan, 78 years old. Paul McCartney is 77 years old.
The funny thing is that look, compare Dylan to McCartney. Dylan looks like he's 88 years old.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Yeah, Paul Simon and Art Garfunkel are both 77. Carole King is 77. Brian Wilson is 77. These are all in order of age and going down. Mick Jagger, 76.
He's a kid.
Keith Richards, 75. Joni Mitchell, same age. Jimmy Page is also 75. Robert Plant is 71. Ray Davies of the Kinks is 75 years old. Roger Daltrey is 75 years old. And Pete Townsend, 74.
Wow. So listen, if you get... All right, so you're the mid-80s to the latter 80s, if they keep, you know, is it possible? Can Mick Jagger be rocking when he's 88, 87? Is that even conceivable?
I mean, Tony Bennett still goes, you know. There are acts that
I'm
continue.
I'm by the power of poop, Nick.
That's right.
My own San Francisco. Tied into it. I can't leave it for too long.
Buddy Guy.
I'm like Aquaman in the water, you know what I'm saying?
Right, yes. Still going.
But yeah, but he's King. It's a little less demanding as a crooner than a rocker.
You're totally right. Yeah, and McCartney is great still.
I think he can keep going.
I saw the Who this summer; they were phenomenal still. But Daltrey has said recently that he fears his voice may go in the next few years.
Paul Simon is retiring,
yeah,
for good. Then the list goes on. By the way, that's just some of them. Roger Waters and David Gilmour. Roger Waters is 75. David Gilmour 73. Rod Stewart, 74 years old. Eric Clapton is 74 years old. Debbie Harry is also 74. Neil Young.
Debbie Harry?
I know, right?
What?
I know. Neil Young is 73. Van Morrison is 73. So is Brian Ferry. Elton John is 72.
Oh, man.
I know. Billy Joel?
What's that? Billy Joel is, he is 70. James Taylor is 71. Jackson Browne is 70 years old. Don Henley is 72.
With the kids now.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'm struggling to think of, I guess you have, well, listen, a few of the grunge people died already.
That's the bitch of it.
I was thinking that's the next step because you have your Eddie Vedders, but you had Scott Weiland die. You had Chris Cornell die.
Lane Staley.
Kurt Cobain. I mean, they were some of the...
They were poised to be the next Illuminati, if you will.
All right, so like...
Of rock.
Motley Crue has retired. Guns N' Roses is...
All right.
They made it back in. The Police, Sting, U2, some of these bigger bands that came, okay. You know...
Keep going, Case, because I'm enjoying what I'm hearing. This is good, actually, because I haven't thought about all these people.
And yes, who is the potential to take? Because you're dealing with duration and content and product delivered.
Yeah,
duration and product delivered, and who is poised to be off on that trajectory?
Well, hopefully,
I think, and we've talked about this, and I know this is oh, it's just people saying, well, they're trying to reinvigorate rock. You know, this station has always been about active rock, and that's it. But I'm feeling it, and maybe it's BS, but I think we're coming into a next wave of rock research. We have people like Bruno Mars and starting to revisit the sounds of rock and
yeah.
on its different levels. I think we're just as with the Puka Shell,
right?
We're coming back into. But
I think it's important, you know, because you know bands, you know, obviously they come out in a certain time,
yeah, you know, yeah,
and there's a certain texture of music. So when a band comes out in the '80s, they're sort of lumped into that '80s sound, but they're not. Like U2, even though they really hit in the '80s, weren't playing that typical '80s sound.
No,
so that's what I'm trying to. They think. Were like more, bands
they
like
were,
that.
Yeah, they were on the edge of rock and new wave.
Yep.
They took it in a new direction. That's the thing. Yeah, you got to be able to take it somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so you take when Nirvana and Pearl Jam and all that that Seattle sound hit, where rock was at that time was in this glam metal kind of
yep.
You know, Poison and Warrant, and it was getting a little too glossy.
Right.
And they came along, and they were like, they went a little more roots with it and a little darker with it as well, but not necessarily heavy. And I didn't see that coming. I had no idea that was coming, and that opened up.
I was playing with my scrunchies.
Like when we had Chris Barron in here the other day from the Spin Doctors, he's like, Nirvana kicked the door down, because once that opened up the floodgates, then you had... like a lighter version of that started to happen, like with the Spin Doctors and Counting Crows and some of these other
Pumpkins,
other great bands.
Blues, you know? Traveler, Dave Matthews Band.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking about bands that were prominent in the 80s and 90s that I, you know, can still exist, including like Aerosmith and Pearl Jam and Foo Fighters and Metallica. But I'm trying to think of, other than Coldplay and maybe Kings of Leon, a band that's formed since 2000.
Well, like. The Foo Fighters were what?
That's 90s. I mean, that's post-Nirvana.
That's late 90s, though.
But, I mean, since the year 2000. A band that formed after the year 2000.
Coldplay was before 2000.
They were? Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then, Kings of Leon. Name another one.
I keep thinking of that Conan O'Brien bit. You remember? In the year 2000.
In the year 2000.
And that's almost 20 years ago.
Black Keys, Muse.
Okay.
Give me a little bit of time.
You'll figure. Yeah, I know you're good with this stuff.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think of like bands that I actually think have their own sound that can continue to pump out good music. And I was talking about this with Chuck D'Amico just a couple of days ago about, you know, being able, because like
the hard part is to keep it going.
To keep it going.
You can flare up and have a huge.
Yeah.
Success, and then a sophomore follow-up that wasn't quite as good as that big one, and then you kind of disappear. Or, you know what? But
yeah.
there's not like, boom, album after album after album. Metallica has done great, but they've been around for a long time.
How old is...
Yeah.
So I think they've got a good run in them still.
Oh, but let me ask you, Nick, because Pearl Jam has been around since the early 90s, and you've been into them for a long, long time. And do you... they haven't had... commercial hit, like, you know, like in 10. But sure. Do you like their later albums, their last album, as much as you like any of the earlier stuff?
Sure, but that's an exception. I mean, like, you can't, I think in that argument, which is a good argument, you can't take your favorite band. I think you have to remove your favorite band from that argument, because I'm like Preston with Rush. The later records that Rush put out weren't huge hits, and they certainly weren't as iconic as the ones that came out in the 70s, but you still love them, and you would listen to them and revisit them different ways. The same goes for Paul McCartney and Bruce Springsteen. I think those guys are still putting out incredible music because they're geniuses, right? But they're not getting radio play
now,
and they're not touring based on songs that are being released now.
But I think and I've heard this said by other people who are even more into, like, hip hop and you know, the current darling of the music industry, whatever that may be, whatever hybrid it is right now, and they're noticing the signs of a similarity of sound that look at people who are like, even in pop, Katy Perry and people who are having issues with selling stuff now,
mm-hmm.
where that they're becoming even very transient.
They're kind of aging out, though. Yeah. I think it's a little bit different. The pop format still stays strong. You know what? Actually,
what was the last Lil Yachty album you loved?
You know what? I did read something not that long ago. Is that what's kind of starting to take a backseat is hip hop.
Yes.
More R&B and pop is taking over, and less, if you look at the number of charted records,
it's true.
A little less straight up rap and hip hop.
Well, now trap is a big thing.
What's trap?
It's like rap and hip hop combined. It's almost, you know, like, so that stupid guy with all the
tattoos. Dude, I couldn't tell you the difference between the two.
Yeah, all right, so.
I really couldn't.
No, yeah.
Who's that idiot with the tattoos all over his face? White guy.
Oh,
yeah. He looks like a scumbag.
Post Malone.
He's a trap artist.
I knew that. Oh, my God.
I think Post Malone is actually pretty talented.
Yeah, but like
his music is okay.
No, I know. I didn't say it wasn't bad. I just said he looks like an idiot. I like his music just fine. But
he just writes his lyrics on his face.
But that style of music is called trap. And it's, all right, so you have a...
He's an actual musician.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm looking at some of the people that are texting, and they're saying bands like The Struts,
yeah,
and Muse and Hailstorm and Greta Van Fleet and Slipknot, Shinedown.
Shinedown is a band that has gotten bigger and bigger over the years, and that impresses me. The set that they put out on MMRBQ this year, that was a rock band set. That was not some guys who have been touring and they're just trying to, you know, put together an act.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And the amount of music that they've sold... and the amount of hits that they've had.
Number one hits that Shinedown has had.
And they just sort of incrementally did it.
Yeah.
There's Weezer. Of course, they've been out since the 90s, though.
Yeah.
But Weezer's like, Red Hot Chili Peppers, they've been around since the 80s, gang.
Yeah. But you can't put, I don't think you can put Greta Van Fleet into this conversation yet.
Yeah.
They have not literally.
Before Greta Van Suster.
Well, they have literally barely put out an album.
Yep. Agreed.
Right? So,
agreed.
Like, I think they really only have like an EP. How many actually recorded songs on a CD do they actually have?
I saw Imagine Dragons 2 or 3 years ago. They were really good live. I know a lot of people don't like them. People put them in the same camp as Coldplay, but I think Coldplay will be around for a long time.
My daughter is a fanatic for 21 Pilots.
There you go.
And they're post-2000s. They're not. They flirt with a bunch of different styles, rock and hip-hop and pop and all that, so I can't really put them in that rock category altogether, but they're going to sell out the freaking Wells Fargo Center.
But if you look at the definition of pop in the 1960s, it's the Beatles, you know, and now they're the one of the most iconic rock bands of all time.
Yeah.
You have to be able to, like, just pump out a lot of decent music. And it's, I mean, it's hard enough to write one hit song, let alone, you know, a bunch of decent songs and albums
about
to sustain a career.
Case.
Tool.
They don't have that much music.
I know.
I know.
For the amount of years that they've been around.
But a lot of people say that Tool is kind of Pink Floyd for...
Right.
I sort of, you know, I was
Pink Floyd for the Metallica fan.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, I'll take that. Everything makes sense.
Yeah, I don't want to hate on Tool. I listened to their entire album catalog. And
what'd you think?
You know, I think it's good. I think that the problem is there's not a whole lot of variety to the sound itself. I think
there is a Tool sound.
There is definitely a Tool sound.
Oh yeah, no question.
You know, like, so that album.
There's not a lot of my dingling.
That album, the Phyrenoculum, is 88 minutes long. But you could really shave that down because there's a lot of droning sound. I'm like, this doesn't count.
By the way, Casey, somebody wanted to point out that Lil Yachty is trap.
Lil Yachty's trap. Yeah. I think Travis Scott.
He's a little bit trap and a little bit rock and roll.
Have you seen the, I haven't seen it, but he's a Netflix special.
Started watching it, yeah.
What did you think?
What?
The Travis Scott Netflix special. So sometimes when you turn Netflix on, you'll get, you may be interested in this, right? And so I got that with the Travis Scott documentary, and it is, I had no idea how huge he was. And he just headlined Made in America.
Yeah.
But he may be the biggest hip-hop trap artist right now in the world.
I've heard the name. I don't know who he is.
Exactly.
Kylie Jenner's
baby daddy.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. I've talked about him a lot, actually. I just didn't even know who the hell he is.
It just all blends together.
But the crowds that go to
You're thinking of Tyga Preston, who was before, who's not really doing much.
He brings in a lot of people. Is that my point?
But, I mean, who are going to be the next legends? I mean, so I'm rattling off these names of these people that are in their mid to upper 70s. They're legends. Jimmy Page and Robert Plant, Mick Jagger, Keith Richards, Paul McCartney, Pete Townsend. You know, I mean, Eric Clapton, for crying out loud. So who are the legends 30 years from now? You know what I mean?
That's a tough call.
Yeah.
Because you're right, though. We lost a lot of the potential legends during the grunge period.
Yes, we did.
A lot of those ODs took a lot. Well, look at it. And the initial, look at all, what's the age club? They all died
27.
At 27, yeah.
But I guess it all depends because, I mean, Scott Weiland started to really fizzle out.
He did.
And creatively, yeah. You know what I mean?
And there's no guarantee that Kurt Cobain would have put out another hit.
Casey, I'm right with you. He did some unbelievable stuff, but sometimes that well runs out, you mm-hmm. know?
It's not like he was an amazing guitarist.
So are any of those guys legends now? Is Kurt Cobain a legend?
He's infamous. He's not like...
I wouldn't say infamous. He's
I think he's a legend.
He's a legend.
Legend?
What about Eddie Vedder?
I think borderline legend.
Yeah.
If I am, it's because of my association with Nick McElwain.
Legend by association.
I like to say is my muse.
I mean, you look at the following that they have, and they don't play a concert that's not sold out.
Yeah, so Dave,
everywhere that they go.
Dave Grohl, legend status?
Borderline?
Yeah.
I'd say Eddie Vedder more than Dave Grohl, no?
No kidding.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe.
I mean, with the volume of work that Foo Fighters has cranked out, that he cranks out, and I don't know, but I mean, I'm biased. I like him a lot, so yeah. I'd say, yeah, legend. But you know, part of that's interpretive, I guess.
Yeah, it's your personal taste. But they're names that when you utter them, everybody goes, "Well, yeah, now you're dealing with a legend," and you know, you rattle off a whole bunch of them.
Let me ask
who are just weeks away from Depends.
So say you're a 17-year-old version of you, right? And you get introduced to rock music via the Struts.
Yeah.
So you guys obviously grew up on rock music. And all of a sudden, you're exposed to rock and you love it because of a band like the Struts.
Right.
And then you revisit
Queen.
Queen. And these Mick Jagger and the legends that came prior to it. Do you hold Luke Spiller on a certain level because that's the one that brings you into the rock music in the first place?
I wonder this. Mm-hmm. Now, with Bohemian Rhapsody and with people revisiting all this stuff. Yeah. Do these artists become age-defying, even life-defying? In other words, Freddie Mercury now could conceivably end up being more popular than ever.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as they point out in Bohemian Rhapsody, the band was always, Queen was always sort of dismissed by the critics. In fact, they have that sequence where they put up the reviews.
You know whose appreciation has been reignited? And we just spoke to her not too that long ago, and we were just talking about her the other day, is Joan Jett.
Yeah.
There was a time where it just kind of, she did, you know, I love rock and roll, and that was a hit in the 80s and blah, blah, blah. And over time now, people have realized, I really did love that song. You know what? I like that song and that song and that song.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's pretty damn good and has reached into legendary status because now... The younger artists are on board saying she's amazing as well, you know.
In your house, with your kids, how many classic or legends of this level are appreciated?
Several.
Yeah.
The Beatles, first and foremost. I've got a whole house full of Beatles fans. My son, Carter, my youngest son, discovered Queen. I showed him a video of Freddie performing in 1980. I'm like, look at this guy. This is probably the greatest front man that ever lived. And he was just enthralled by him. But he started to pick up on other things. He discovered Simon and Garfunkel on his own. Huh. I was very proud of him, too.
Yeah.
And has an appreciation and is curious about things like Pink Floyd and stuff like that and AC/DC. So I'm on board, man.
Yeah,
I think I've done a pretty okay job. I don't want to say a pretty good job, but an okay job of introducing my children to...
The Bill Carton kids?
Yes. A little,
a little.
But
Nickel Creek?
Some other stuff. Nickel Creek is another one. My kids obviously
have a
very well-rounded musical background, but the classics, right?
Yeah.
So... we were listening to a Fish song the other day, and in the Fish song, they play a piece of Let It Be. It's part of the song, and we're listening to it, and my daughter in the back, she goes, are they playing the Beatles right now? I'm like, oh my God, I love you so much. Because it's just one tiny little part of Let It Be, and she picked up on it. I'm like, I'm doing my job.
I agree. They need to be aware of it.
And when those artists get repopularized because of Bohemian Rhapsody, because of the movie Yesterday, even Blinded by the Light, which didn't do that great in the box office, but you know, there's a generation that will discover Bruce 40 years after those songs came out.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. How old is Bruce?
Bruce is 69.
Okay.
69.
He will be turning 70 next month.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's my birthday next month.
He's on the He's like the baby part of this.
Yeah, this list of elders, if you will, rock
baby,
elders.
Baby, bloosh, 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 bloosh.
Casey, who was on that old cello that you went to?
Oh, that, I mean, that was
the Who?
The Who, Bob Dylan, Paul McCartney, Roger Waters.
Everybody on this
Rolling
list.
Stones.
Yeah,
everybody on that list, yeah.
They went to the desert to die.
Wow.
No, it's an amazing, sobering thing. But so, those, guys, keep eating right.
Yeah, those six bands, you know, we had the conversation afterwards. Who would be the next six bands? Because a lot of those bands that come out of that time are they're good and they have a you know a decent catalog, but they're more nostalgia acts than like the Rolling Stones. Dude, they're not a nostalgia act. Like they're still a viable live rock band.
Right.
But but if you go and listen to like Kansas or Boston, you know, you're like, oh, here's a classic rock crap. You know, well, I don't want to call it crap, but here's that no, but classic rock stuff.
It's a caricature of its former self.
Well, when people try to ask us, Nick, about the delineation between, you know, MMR and MGK, MGK is straight classic rock.
Yeah.
Well, you will hear like, you know.
They don't play current-based rock
music.
We continue to play new artists and so on.
Yeah. Right. I went and saw Journey two or three summers ago, and it was fine, but it's not Journey.
It's a classic rock reference.
Yeah, no, it was a
classic rock poo.
Basically, a tribute band to what Journey was.
Okay.
You know, even though it still has some original members, and that's fine. You get the songs, but it's not the band that was.
Right. Right. Mm.
Jack White. What do you think about Jack White?
Jack White has the potential to be a legend.
He's great. He's a very well-rounded musician. He does several different projects. He's into producing on his own, writing and performing himself.
Upholstery.
Upholstery is a big thing for him. Taxidermy. But I don't know. Maybe. Possibly. You know? It's hard to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, please. Let's listen to some Boston.
I love Boston.
I do, too.
What is this, Tom Shots?
Steve, I was singing to you the other day. I forgot what store I was in, and there was a Bee Gees song that was playing, and I'm just singing along to it. I'm like, me and Steve love the Bee Gees.
I'm sorry, yeah. they can hate us and chase us out of town with torches. Bee Gees fans.
What?
This is he created the he was an engineering major, and he created a lot of the technology that's used in guitars.
You're talking about Tom Scholz.
Tom Scholz, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He went to MIT.
Yeah.
And this guitar sound. He actually created the effects unit to get that really awesome sustain in his guitar and everything. Plus, he was using a Les Paul, which is known for that. You can hear the sustain. All right. Anyhow, just kind of a reminder, get out and see these bands because nobody's getting any younger. And,
we don't want to be an alarmist, but they're all going to die.
It's a huge chunk of legends that are in their mid to upper 70s at this point. Wow.
Teetering, basically.
Casey is giving me the last of the It Chapter 2 movie screening passes to give away, and there's four of them left. It's tonight, 7 o'clock, UA Riverview.
Do you know what they're calling the title of the sequel?
Uh-uh.
The Shiznit.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It Chapter 2, The Shiznit. So you need to be there by 6:30. 215-263-WMMR, the number. Go ahead and give us a call. We'll take a break. Secret text word still up, and we have more giveaways coming up with our friends at JD McGillicuddy's. Marissa's going to be there tomorrow night for the 2019 Bud Light Platinum Thursday Night Huddle. Chance to win tickets, blah, blah, blah. I'll tell you more about that in a little bit. I'll be right back.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
The Black Keys. Greta Van Fleet. Five Finger Death Punch.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
So I'm going to give away the last of our $25 gift cards for our friends at J.D. McGillicuddy's, in Manayunk. And you don't want to miss a full football block party tomorrow night, complete with $10 Bud Light pitchers, $3 Bud Light bottles, $4 Bud Light Platinums, and $6 cheesesteaks as well.
Check of figures.
So you can knock some of this out with your $25 gift cards. We'll take callers 12 and 13 at 215-263-WMMR. Marissa will be there tomorrow night in Manayunk, J.D. McGillicuddy's. And that's from 7 to 9, and she'll have a chance to get registered to win some tickets to the Birds Home Opener. So they brought a lot of great food for us, by the way. They brought the wings, crab balls.
Crab balls.
It says, I didn't see any crab balls out there.
But I don't know. I assume they're tiny.
Maybe. Little bitty, yeah.
Yeah. Little bitty things.
Little balls. So, anyhow, thank you to J.D. McGillicuddy's for bringing all the food. We got to do the Bizarre Five.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre Final.
All right, we'll start with this one. During Labor Day weekend, lifeguards are warning everyone to look twice before stepping into the ocean, or they were in Clearwater. On Saturday, there were over 30 reports of beachgoers getting stung by stingrays on Clearwater Beach. According to a spokesman, they said they are not an aggressive species. They are not there to attack humans or to come after you. They just protect themselves.
Sounds like they were sting crazy.
Officials say that this is mating season for the rays and are often found buried in the sand close to the shore. One technique to avoid getting stung is by shuffling your feet as you get into the water.
Or don't go in the water.
They can't see very well, so they rely on vibrations. And when they hear that vibration, it clears them out of the way. I was on a beach in, it was a small beach, a resort we were staying at in the Keys, and was literally in just like 2 feet of water and just had a mask. And I'm like, right there below my face was a stingray just sitting, you know, in the sand.
Yeah.
And it was colored such as I couldn't see it at
right,
all.
Yeah, right.
We have them in the Jersey Shore. I think they're called skates. I don't know if I believe they're in the same family. Don't quote me on that.
Yeah, but they look similar. Yeah.
Yeah, my kids see them all the time.
So most stings are not life-threatening, and they often lead to swelling. And if you are stung, any nearby lifeguards are usually trained to aid the stings. Mating season for stingrays will end in October, by the way. Police say they've arrested a convicted drunk driver after he allegedly drove away from court 5 minutes after a judge ordered him to not drive for a year.
Oh, you mean immediately?
Yeah. Investigators say an officer was in the courthouse for an unrelated matter on Thursday when he watched the judge deliver her sentence to the man. They say that several minutes after that, he got in his own car and drove off. Police say that they were able to stop the accused, who has been charged with operation while prohibited.
Can't believe I can't drive for a year. Anyone go out to lunch, I'm driving.
His vehicle was impounded for 45 days, and he is going to have to appear back in court.
Sometimes the message just doesn't permeate.
It does not.
Oh, you were talking to me this whole time?
Yeah. Oh, me?
This is pretty wild. A teenager in the United Kingdom, described as a fussy eater, lost his vision due to a strict diet of Pringles, French fries, white bread, processed ham, and sausage.
Well, he's eating all the right stuff.
A case study published Monday in the Annals of Internal Medicine shows the boy suffered from nutritional optic neuropathy.
Wow.
A dysfunction of the optic nerve caused by a diet low in nutrients required for nerve fibers in the eye to function.
Why doesn't it say on Pringles can cause blindness?
The condition can lead to permanent vision loss if left untreated. Researchers said that the boy first visited his family doctor as a 14-year-old with a normal body mass index, but complained of tiredness. His doctors gave him some vitamin B12 injections to treat low levels of the vitamin, suggested some dietary changes.
Yeah.
Well, a year later, the boy had developed hearing loss and symptoms related to his vision.
It's insane.
But doctors cannot determine the cause. By age 17, the boy's vision had progressed to the point of blindness. Doctors investigated. They found the boy suffered several bone, vitamin, and mineral deficiencies. And that was when the teenager admitted to avoiding foods with certain textures since elementary school. He said that he only ate French fries, Pringles, white bread, processed ham, and sausage.
Wow.
By the time doctors had completed the diagnosis, he had suffered permanent vision loss.
Well, with the permanent vision loss, or near permanent, how could he see the sausages, Casey?
Where are the sausages?
Yep, he had no idea. He's looking all over.
Are they?
Yeah. Where are the sausages?
I wonder, though, I mean, because he's obviously not getting certain nutrients in his life. Is there anything he could have taken in a pill form that would have helped?
Right.
Maybe.
Like a pill form of sausage.
Yeah.
No,
but or the proper vitamins that he needed.
Like a good time-release sausage.
A man fell from the highest tier in a Brazilian stadium before landing on a 13-year-old girl at the bottom of the stand.
Oh, my God.
The incident, I saw the video. It's crazy this guy lived. The incident happened at the Estadio Cicero Pompeo do Toledo Stadium, more commonly known as the Morumbi. during a match between Top Flight Team Sao Paulo and Gremio.
Wow, they have a lot of names.
In the video, the fan can be seen cheering in the stands when one of them, named Lago de Melo Rios, can be seen falling from the top tier down to the bottom tier below. He reportedly landed on top of a 13-year-old girl, Giovanna Arojo, who is said to have softened his blow and avoided a potential fatal injury.
What happened to her?
She's actually okay.
What?
Yeah, Milo Rios had climbed the railing that guards the stands before he had his shocking fall. Local media reported the two were rushed to be treated in the stadium's outpatient clinic before they took them to the hospitals.
Yes, believe it or not, he landed on top of me and he's okay.
Reports claim that De Melio Rios is reportedly undergoing tests and is suspected to have suffered a broken femur. The young girl is reported to have avoided serious injuries, but there have been no updates of the condition on her as of now.
That should not have happened. They both should have been dead.
Yeah. Let's do one more story. Yeah, let's talk about this idiot. A Mississippi event venue apologized in a since-deleted Facebook post after it faced backlash for refusing to host an interracial wedding, citing the owner's Christian beliefs. LaCambria Welch drove to Boone's Camp Event Hall after her brother and fiancé had been told by the venue that they were no longer welcome to hold their event at the location. Welch recorded her interaction with a woman identified as a venue owner. She said, first of all, we don't do gay weddings or mixed race.
Oh, God.
And so the woman, Welch, asks, okay, why not? And she goes, because of our Christian race. I mean, our Christian beliefs.
Oh, they're really, they're misreading a lot of this.
The woman would not point to what in the Bible informs her beliefs when asked, saying, I don't want to argue my faith. But in the since-deleted Facebook post, which was screenshot and shared by others, the venue owner has apologized for what was said in the video and said she realized that she had been wrong about her Christian beliefs and said that they said anything about banning interracial marriages.
Oh, my God.
So this is her apology. Says, to all those offended, hurt, or felt condemned by my statements, I truly apologize to you for my ignorance in not knowing the truth about this. My intent was never of racism, but to stand firm on what I assumed was right concerning marriage. As a child growing up in Mississippi, our racial boundaries that were stated were that of staying with your own race. This was never verbally spoken, but was an understood subject, she said.
So to this they say, I oop?
She added that her husband asked her on Saturday night to find the parts in the Bible concerning biracial relationships. And after studying and sitting down with her pastor, she realized she's been wrong this whole time.
It's right here in the Bible with the German title, Mein Kampf.
She said, I've come to the conclusion that my decision, which was based on what I had thought was correct to be supported by the Bible, was incorrect. I have had for many years stood firm on my Christian faith, not knowing that biracial relationships were never mentioned in the Bible, she said.
Whoopsie daisy.
Yeah, the venue's Facebook page appears to no longer be active. Mississippi law passed in 2016 allows businesses to deny services to LGBTQ people based on religious objections and allows clerks to avoid issuing marriage licenses to same-sex couples. The state law does not address marriages between interracial couples, which has been legal in all U.S. states since 1967 and a Supreme Court decision, by the way.
Well, let me actually read this thing.
Yeah. And there you go. That is your bizarre file for now. Why don't we get a winner for our secret text word? Romano!
Yeah.
Give me a number, caller.
I'm going to go with caller 11.
All right, yeah. 11-215-263-WMMR. Do you know the secret text word? Well, you need to win. So let's get you on board. We're going to take a break. I'll be right back.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
And that would be Mr. Joe Jackson on 93.3 WMMR. We're in the eyes. Is she really going out with him?
Great song.
I love it.
It's one of Bill Weston's favorites.
I'm a huge Joe Jackson fan, too.
Bill loves Joe Jackson.
So we have lots of eyes to get to, and that will be carried on a little bit. We get into the it and the its in just a little while, and there's a bunch of those. So that is coming up in moments. Loving the back school A to Z. Let us see if we can, in case you need to flip these for me here.
Oh, wait, I thought we got to get an answer to the...
You're right. I'm sorry. We need to get our secret text word winner. So we were looking for caller number 11, and I got Mike on the line who wants to answer. Hey, Mike, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, what's happening, guys?
Hey, Mike, I need to know, what is the secret text word?
That word is Dragonstone.
Dragonstone. Oh! Correct. Mike... Hang on, because we're going to get your information, and then we are going to set you up with a pair of tickets for the Game of Thrones live concert experience, and that is September 12th at The Man. Music by Ramin Djawadi, and tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. We also grabbed a random texter, and that is Deborah McGaldi, who is from Philadelphia. So Deborah's going to get to go, too. So once again, that's September 12th at The Man, Game of Thrones live concert experience. Congratulations. We're now going to do today's lesson question and test you on how closely you have been paying attention to the program. And for the correct answer, we will give away a pair of sweet tickets for the 100th race at Dover International Speedway. That's going to be on October 6th. And the question I have for you this morning is, what reality show hosted by a Brit and starring an American will be featured on Disney Plus? 215-263-WMMR. What reality show hosted by a Brit and starring an American will be featured on Disney Plus? Might be a porn star. Let's see. 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. We are going to be doing the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right. Brought to you by New Jersey Transit. Your attention is their most valuable asset. If something doesn't feel right, it probably isn't. New Jersey Transit urges you to stay alert and stay alive. Report suspicious activity to 1-888-TIPS-NJT or text your report to NJTPD. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Britney Spears and Kevin Federline officially altering their child custody arrangement, giving Federline custody of their two boys 70% of the time. The court says the move is not permanent, noting that it could be amended once Britney stops raking her index finger up and down over her lips. Environmental activist Prince Harry defending the use of his private jet, saying it's only done on rare occasions and only to ensure the well-being of his family. Harry insists that were security not an issue, he'd be happy to have his family, quote, fly with the human filth.
Hey!
And finally, a video of Kanye West seemingly eating his earwax has gone viral on Twitter, inciting a disturbed reaction. West says the whole thing is ridiculous, explaining that the earwax provides the savory to the sweetness of his snot.
Yeah. Alrighty, we'll see if somebody can answer this correctly. What reality show hosted by Brit starring an American will be featured on Disney Plus? Let's try Bill. Hey, Bill, how you doing, man?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you, Preston?
Good, Bill. So what's the name of that show that's going to be featured on Disney Plus, please?
That would be Peter North's Great American Wank-Off.
Yes! Peter North's Great American Wank-Off is correct. And since you got it right, Bill, hang on. Going to the races, man. We got a pair of sweet tickets for the 100th race at Dover International Speedway.
Wow.
That's October 6th, and help celebrate 50 years of Dover International Speedway. Get your tickets. Information is available at doverspeedway.com.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
And this morning it is brought to you by Dietz and Watson, the official deli meat, cheese, franks, and sausages of the Eagles. Start your pregame with their fan favorite, 100% all beef franks. One or two stories today, and that's it. We'll start with this one. Slipknot drummer Jay Weinberg revealed in an interview how his father, drummer Max Weinberg, of course from the Bruce Springsteen E Street Band, reacted when he learned his son had joined Iowa's Masked Metal Ensemble. The 28-year-old Jay explained, "I don't know if he believed me, to be honest." He said, "No. When we had conversations about that's what had happened, I actually couldn't even tell him what band I had auditioned for, truthfully, for a while, till I asked the band if I could tell my dad. But once I did, he was very happy, considering this is a band that he introduced to my life.
Wow.
Isn't that wild?
I didn't know that. I didn't think that'd be his speed, Max Weinberg.
Max first introduced his son to the members of Slipknot at an early age, with Jay saying, I'm sure I would have crossed the path of Slipknot's music at some point, but he really made me made that initial connection between myself and the members of the band. So for him to have done that for me and did me that solid of introducing me to these guys at 9 or 10 years old, and then 13, 14 years later I joined the band, he was overwhelmed and overjoyed, I'm sure. So it's kind of like us talking about turning our kids on to certain music.
Yeah.
I never would have guessed Jay Weinberg or that that Max Weinberg
would have
that Slipknot would have even been on his radar. Yeah. Jay was asked to audition for Slipknot in 2013 following the dismissal of founding drummer Joey Jordison. The identities of Jay and bassist Alessandro Venturella, who replaced the late Paul Gray around the same time, were kept secret for several months. We still don't know who Tortilla Man is, by
the
way.
No, we don't.
That ninth member.
Or Burrito Bill.
Metallica has donated more than 1.5 million euros, or approximately $1.65 million, to various local charities during the band's just-completed summer 2019 European leg of the worldwide tour.
As you reported, an incredibly profitable tour for them.
It is. But $1.65 million?
That's awesome.
Good chunk of change.
Yep.
The donations were made over the course of 25 shows through the band's nonprofit foundation, All Within My Hands, which was established in 2017 as a means to invest in the people and places that have supported the band. Their final summer contribution came on August 25th when they delivered $63,000 in euros to Free Zone Mannheim, an organization offering youth welfare services in Mannheim to children, adolescents, and young adults living entirely or partially on the streets. Metallica will next perform this Friday and Sunday with the San Francisco Symphony in a sequel to the band and orchestra's S&M concerts of 20 years ago. One last story. Fred Durst. His latest film as a director, The Fanatic, which it was a tremendous flop at the box office when it opened this past weekend. The film, which stars John Travolta, grossed just $3,153 on Friday from 52 theaters scattered around the U.S. for a location average of about $60. The movie was projected to earn no more than $15,000 for the four-day holiday weekend. In a handful of theaters, it grossed $10 or less. Well, the highest gross was $736 at the Arena Cine Lounge in Hollywood.
Man, now mind you, that's not a lot of theaters, but that's not a lot of money per theater.
Do we know how that did in Philadelphia?
Don't know. I'll tell you this. The reviews for his acting, for Travolta's performance, were good. But the movie, it failed to attract an audience.
I think we all felt the same thing watching. We're like, wow, Travolta's really good in this.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's a loose film. The other actors aren't very good. And
if you've seen Misery, you've sort of seen it.
A little bit.
Yeah.
But it just kind of, I don't know. Critics have slammed the film, giving it a 17% rotten rating on Rotten Tomatoes. It'll be Travolta's fourth straight box office bomb in a row, following In a Valley of Violence, Killing Season, and Gotti. Neither of Durst's previous films, 2007's The Education of Charlie Banks and 2008's The Long Shots, were box office successes. The former earned just $15,000 on a $5 million budget.
Holy God.
Old Fred's not doing too well with movies. He's done some other things that he's directed and done okay with, but I think it's like music videos and commercials.
Right,
and
right.
Like that, so. All right, and there you go. So, to have a music news for you. We are going to take one more quick break. I'm trying to see if there's any. No, I think we've given away all I need to give away. Wonderful. So, when we come back, we'll just concern ourselves with that letter of the day, not before we play another song from the Back to School A to Z. So, we'll be back with that. Stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast, 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Island in the Sun, it's Weezer on 93.3 WMMR on the Bank School A to Z. Clearly we're in the eyes. We're getting ready to head into the its. And we'll go into those for a little while. And Pierre will take you through that little journey in a little while. So get set for that. I've had some text asking if I was going to do this because I mentioned that I might before the show is up. And yes, I'm going to give away some invitations to the Bitch Box Party. Yes, it is the Preston and Steve sorority party, but Kathy's Bitch Box Part 3 celebration is taking place. And this will be on the 19th, the Thursday night, 6 to 8 p.m. at Harris, Philadelphia. We'll take three callers right now who are at least 21 years of age and females only. And you can bring a friend with you, female friend.
Greatest sorority on earth.
Yep. 215-263-WMMR is the number. And it well, the winners and guests will each get a Kathy's Bitch Box filled with some of her favorite products. Your first drink is free, plus a happy hour buffet, a fashion show, yes, and just a good time had all the way around. And it's from Harris, Philadelphia, a total gaming and entertainment experience all in one place. Harris, Philadelphia, where Philly comes out to play.
And so, also, everyone, all the vendors that are coming, everybody that's contributed to the Bitch Box, they'll be there, too. So they're going to have a whole setup, tables. You can, you know, look at their products and
ask questions.
I love that last time around because, well, it's actually been every time, but there was really robust last time. And the amount of samples or information or, it was just a great vibe.
Well, I will say Harris really set up the room so nice last year.
Yeah.
And it helped with the vibe and you know, how the event went. So I'm glad that we're doing it there again.
You know, just us girls.
Yep.
Yeah. Us girls. Yes.
Just being ladies, you know, out for the night. So let's get you on board with that. Let's see. First I want to thank J.D. McGillicuddy's for being here this morning and serving up some wonderful food. They're in Manayunk, and the Bud Light Platinum Thursday Night Huddle is taking over a different neighborhood bar every Thursday night this football season. Visit WMMR.com to learn when the Bud Light Platinum Thursday Night Huddle is coming to your neighborhood. So tomorrow night, Marissa will be there 7 to 9 p.m., and they are located on Cotton Street in Manayunk. And if you go by, you will have a chance to win tickets to the Eagles home opener. And you'll also have $10 Bud Light pitchers and $3 Bud Light bottles, $4 Bud Light platinums, and $6 cheesesteaks as well. So thank you.
These were done last year, Preston. They were such a hit. Everyone had a blast. And Marissa runs a great party when she does these things.
Yes, she does. So join her. Pierre is in the studio, about ready to take over for the day.
It's a miracle.
It is a miracle.
It is a miracle.
Every day's a miracle.
Every day's a miracle. Rodney brought me coffee this morning.
Oh,
that's awesome.
Rodney's the man.
If Rodney isn't the greatest already, he, on his way in, found some wonderful coffee for me and brought it in.
I have a Superman statue that I'm going to give Rodney. There's one statue that has not ported over to my office. I said, if anybody around here deserves the Superman statue, it's Rodney.
I would agree. Yeah. You need more figurines and statues.
I have space now, and they will be coming. They're ordered and on their way. In fact, one should be arriving at the house today.
Claire, God bless her.
She really is a saint.
She is a saint. Yeah. But I'm sure she said, no more in this house. Send them to the
absolutely
office.
Work it is.
Are there pictures of the assortment?
Oh yeah, in the house. Online. But there's still room in the house.
No, I mean up online though.
Oh yeah,
I mean, so that people can see how many Batman, Superman, other figurines you have.
Just go to our Instagram page.
Yeah, we posted yesterday. There's more on the way.
Yeah, so this is just beginning, but mostly featuring Batman and Iron Man.
Right. Okay.
Right now, you know, I have to decorate properly.
Now, I understand.
Yeah, yeah.
I understand. It's a miracle.
There you go. There's a picture of it in the studio right now.
Oh, this is the new office.
Yeah.
We just moved in the other day.
So there is huge spaces where people would put books and tapes and various recording instruments. But Steve has used they're 5 feet high statues.
Yeah.
And
they're not 5 feet high.
All right. They're 4.5 feet high.
4.5 feet, yeah.
And the Iron Man. Catch a giant Iron Man head.
That's a 1-to-1 scale Iron Man head.
Wow.
I'm so glad. Listen, it looks good. You've organized it so nicely. I am proud of you. But I'm glad there's a buffer between me and you.
Oh, yeah. That buffer is Nick.
It's Nick.
Yeah.
I've started to straighten up my area.
You have. It's
and,
looking
and my collections are better. Coming, too. So I have display area finally. So
nice.
I'm going to put some
swords.
Of my stuff up.
Nice.
I don't know if I'm going to do the swords.
Really?
Yeah.
No, we threw the swords out.
No, I have a couple of swords. There's one like the Philadelphia... Pipe and Drums brought us this really cool. It's engraved
it's awesome.
Everything. So that's for the show. I need to find somewhere for that. But I have other collections that I'm going to bring in display.
Are we going to do that thing that we were talking about? That one idea where we were floating
around? We got to do that. Yeah. We'll hopefully get to that soon.
Okay.
That's an idea and we'll get to it.
Yeah. We're not going to reveal what it
no,
is.
I ain't.
We're going to put a chopping board in the middle of the room and hang our pots and pans from the ceiling.
No, that's Kathy's sections, along with the doilies and the Martha Stewart tribute area.
You know what? I've always wanted that. I've never had a setup where I can hang my pots and pans from, like, a ceiling setup.
I like that look. My wife doesn't like it, so we didn't get it.
Here's why I do like it. It looks great. But you can't use the pots, because once there's a stain and you hang it up, now it looks ridiculous.
Shut up.
I'm just saying that's when it doesn't look good.
Once there's a stain,
that's why she's...
that shows that that's a working kitchen.
Which is fine.
There would never be a stain if it was me, because they'd never be you.
Me neither.
You
know, that's why I always wanted it.
It would work in your house.
Yeah.
See, that's why we should live together.
That's why we are married, but stay apart.
Right. Forever.
I mean, you can't have sex all the time.
Well, exactly. Yeah,
yeah. No, it's the perfect marriage. We don't live together and we don't have to have sex.
Yeah, you just love each other and then leave it at that.
We just love each other and that's all
Kathy,
there is to it.
Had she not met Dennis, she would have been married to a prisoner.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. It would be the perfect thing. What are you in for murder? Love it.
Write each other.
Yeah.
We should do the letter of the day.
I'm thinking that.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
E as in an enormous selection of songs in our A to Z.
This
e.
is true. All right, so we have a pair of tickets for the Eagles home opener this Sunday against Washington Lincoln Financial Field. Courtesy of our friends at Dunkin'. It's the return of the Eagles game day offer, by the way. All Dunkin' Perks members can score $1 medium hot or iced coffee when they pay with a Dunkin' Perks enrolled card. So we'll give that away. Two more days to go, man. So we've entered into the eyes in the back to school A to Z.
Yeah, I think I will turn to Jay, but you guys got... Did you get into the Mystic from Van Morrison, or was that with Brent? Oh, okay.
That was before us, I believe.
But you got Invisible Touch from Genesis, right?
We did.
And cool. And Invisible Sun from The Police, which was really cool.
And Ironic from Alanis Morissette.
Oh, yeah. Very cool. And I just heard, is she really going out with him? God, what a great song from Joe Jackson. I'd forgotten about it. You know, the A to Z reminds you about songs that may have come up in your life's catalog and take you back. I mean, so many people texted me yesterday, oh, my God, this takes me back to this time. Oh, this takes me back to this time.
There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. Who does something like this? That we're playing all, you know, one play on each of these songs all the way through. You talk about Joe Jackson. It reminds you, if you've never checked into Joe Jackson, and you look, we talked about inspirational songs, Preston. Mm-hmm. There's a song that he does called You Can't Get What You Want Till You Know What You Want. I don't know if you're familiar.
I don't know that.
It is a very horn-driven song. It's one of the most inspirational songs. But it presents the opportunity, if you hear something that you like, explore that artist a little further.
Right. You know? Bill Weston actually loves Joe Jackson.
He and I are on the same page in the Joe Jackson category.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But our friend Kevin has a saying, you know, are you having a good A to Z? And, you know, it's just like, are you enjoying the parade?
I like that.
Having a good A to Z. I certainly am, and you guys are as well. So there you go.
Yeah, most definitely.
Did I give the letter? I gave the letter.
You gave the letter, but so you've got the eyes coming up. I mentioned anything else in the ways of giveaways or anything like that?
I didn't give away whatever it was I had yesterday.
You didn't?
So whatever that is.
It was a turkey.
Okay. It was a turkey.
We'll give it away today.
It was a pounds of steak.
And so, pounds of steak.
Yeah, not just a pound. Several pounds of steak.
I would like 7 pounds of steak.
Pounds of steak. You got it, Buster. Step right up to Pierre's Butcher Shop. I got all the blood you need.
You should get for Halloween 1 year, you should go as a butcher. Like with blood splattered, you know, apron and everything. That'd be perfect.
A vegetarian butcher with all the zucchinis hanging from
Yes! And mangled tofu hanging from my locks.
Mangled tofu hanging from your locks.
Mangled tofu would be like dreadlocks, but tofu locks.
Yeah,
I like it.
All right. Actually, we're cooking with gas now, Mustard.
Oh, my God.
So Pierre's coming up next, ladies and gentlemen. We need to thank our sponsors. The President Steve Show is brought to you today by Dunkin', the official coffee of the President Steve Show. And the President Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. Also, Winter Airport Parking, the fastest way in and out of Philly International Airport. And Chorus Photography, the official photographers of the Preston and Steve Show. And also brought to you by Planet Fitness. Get the Planet Fitness Black Card and you'll enjoy massage chairs, hydro massage, tanning, and more. Tomorrow on our program, comedian
Luenell
will be in our studio and more. And the A to Z, of course. That's it. We're done. Rage on. Have a great day. And we'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
the Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
I brought my dog to bark in the park. He's very upset, and he would like to talk to you.
Next message.
I like it that Adam Ferrara. And I like it that John Travolta. And I like it that John Schneider. And I even like it those two guys from the Chicago shows that I've never heard of before. You guys have been given a lot of interviews lately that I like it.
Next message.
We are waiting for the bus right now. This bus driver is taking forever.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.